United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good morning. Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. On this 25th of February 2014, we're winding down the month, and got a couple more days before the month is over. We're heading into March, and for those of us that live in Northeast Ohio, I think we'll be happy to see February go, and hopefully that I think March is in like a lion, out like a lamb, and I'm not sure. I think we're going to come in like a lion because they tell me it's going to be very, very cold this weekend. That global warming is really going to be getting to us. So, and I'm playing a little bit of Elton John. And he's been to Youngstown twice in the last couple of years, and it's really, really amazing. And since everybody told me that they were tired of hearing my happy song, but it is still around, so don't think that I put it too far. Just in case, you know, because if I get in the mood, I got to go back to happy. It's something personal, and because it puts you there, so I've got to do that. Today is going. Jeff is on his way in, I'm quite sure, but I need to talk about the state of the state here in Ohio. It looks like they had the governor's conference at the White House in D.C., and I guess my governor wasn't there because we had scheduled our state of the state. And with that said, there were some things that were said during the State of the State yesterday that people in their right minds, I don't care if you like the governor, hate the governor, think he, you know, whatever you think about him, there were things that he said that should have been like music to your ears. And I was sitting here and preparing for the show, and Elton John, I was looking up some music, and Elton John, the clip that I just played, was from Elton John playing on Soul Train. And so, you know, I was like, wow, look at that. And then something was on my Facebook, and, you know, I'm Pharrell. He is, you know, he's become my favorite non-gospel artist right now because I'm happy. And, you know, I posted it on my Facebook page, and people that usually are fighting on my page about how much they disagree with each other, they were actually getting along over one song. And I said to myself, you know, wow, look at how that transcends our opinions. You know, look at how music, you know, just is the equalizer, and how it just calms a savage beast, and it will allow people to agree that that's a great song and we can get along here. They say music is universal. And I saw that. And then I saw that, you know, Elton John performs Benny and the Jets on Soul Train. For those of you who are out there who don't know who Soul Train is, Soul Train used to be an African-American Saturday dance show, like American Bandstand. And it was geared towards the black community completely, and it was a social powerhouse for communications for African Americans, something that they don't even have today. But it was every day, every Saturday at 11 o'clock or at 1 o'clock or whatever time it came on in your time zone, you knew where most African Americans would be, especially during a certain age. They would be in front of someone's television watching Soul Train. And that's where a lot of information and a lot of substance came from for the black community. And you didn't see too many white people on there. You know, you didn't have a whole lot of white folks actually coming on, you know, Soul Train to play. You had Parliament Funkadelic. You had, it was where black people actually saw black artists. Because if you watched American Bandstand for a very, very long time, you had very, very few African Americans that were on there, and if they were, it was limited. And so Soul Train happened to be one of those places where African Americans could actually hone in on. And when I saw this performance of Elton John on Soul Train, I said, wow, look at that. You know, he actually, I mean, everybody, I mean, if you didn't know, you knew. Nobody cared about anything about him besides his music. And he is a musical genius. He is what he is. And you have to appreciate him for that. And then I looked at, you know, the Pharrell Williams and me posting happy on my Facebook page and watching my political fighters agree on a song. And then watching the governor's State of the State last night and watching politics being played. And I became so very, very saddened by watching the people play politics over common sense issues that they shouldn't have been playing politics over. And I said to myself, that's what's wrong with America today. If you really want to know what's wrong with America today, you have egos who will not call black, black, and white, white. You will not call right, right, and wrong, wrong. That is just so sad to me. Because as I look at what the governor said last night about education and what he said about making sure people that have special needs get what they need, and Medicare expansion, and what he said about making sure our children have an opportunity for a great education, an opportunity to choose what field they want to go in, and that when they go to college, if they're taking college classes, they ought to get college credit, and that should be for everyone. Him saying that minorities, if you are a good business, we need to make sure that they have opportunity to expand their business, to grow their business. So not that they're a minority business, but that they are a competitive majority business. That's what he said. And some of the tweets that I heard from some of the crazy, crazy, crazy elected officials in the Mahoning County made my stomach sick. I'm looking at this, and they came and asked me last night on television about the press conference that they had before they heard the speech, had not read the speech, but they had a press conference about the speech, because they were saying that we are taking all the money and sending it down to Columbus and not leaving anything here. But yet you're spending $17,000 to educate one child in Youngstown City Schools per year, something like $9,000 inside of your Canfield school. They're excellent, and you're at below average and, or, you know, failing. So is it money or what is it? And then he says, if any administration wants to do anything about the educational system across this state, if they call him and have a plan, he will do whatever is necessary and put the weight of the governor's office behind them. What more do you want? And this is not because he's a Republican governor. It's because it was just right. I mean, like, wow. It's like, okay. That ain't a, I mean, that one, he wasn't talking about minimum wage. He wasn't talking about Obamacare. He's made Republicans mad by the Medicaid expansion. And I'm watching, he says in the seventh grade, children need to be exposed to careers so that they can start charting their path. And I get a tweet from Gerberry talking about, why would you expose seventh graders to extended job, like they really want to pay attention to that. It's not about paying attention. It's about learning and having opportunity so that they'll know.
What was that said?
Gerberry was talking about, why would you open up, seventh graders really don't care about what's going to happen in their industry and where they're going. That's the point. I just don't understand. And I say this because we need to call right, right, and wrong, wrong. And if the clock is right and it's 6 o'clock, even if it's a broke clock, it's still 6 o'clock. It's okay. And you don't have to agree on everything, but come on. That's what's wrong. And then Fitzgerald, with his dingy self, he going to hold a press conference and start talking about the speech before the speech. Hello? That's why you do it after the State of the State, not before the State of the State. But because you don't have anything to say, you do it before. So last night they asked me, they said, Tracy, did you hear the press conference? What press conference? I'm busy. I'm trying to get things done and do things. Well, the Democrats held a press conference today talking about how the governor is expanding the state, but he's lessening the money to go to the local agencies. No, he's not. We need jobs. And if you have jobs, you don't mind paying more. The problem is you don't have a job. You're not making enough. We need people that are making money, spending money, so that we can increase the economy here in the state of Ohio so that people can have what they need. Then you won't have to worry about whose money is it. But if you don't have jobs coming in and if you don't make your state to where it is sellable, you're going to lose. I was watching Bobby Jindal and I can't think of the other guy's name down at the governor's issue, and they were coming out having a happy time, and Bobby Jindal made it serious. People don't understand you are in a competition with every other state in the union, and you need to know that. You, as a matter of fact, every municipality, every city is in competition with each one, including your townships. Boardman's in competition with Niles. And with Youngstown. Youngstown's in competition with Coitsville and Lowellville. That's why you have tax abatements. They're competing for businesses to come in because that's what undergirds their infrastructure. I'm done. My rant is over. Hi, Jeff. Hand me a Kleenex.
Are you crying?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen.
What?
I heard those idiots on TV.
Oh, you heard them?
I heard them. I didn't hear that part of it. I wish I had them.
He tweeted that.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted that.
I'm glad I'm not on his tweet yet. I got to get into this tweeting because I signed up, but I tweeted once or twice, and that's it. I'm going to start regularly tweeting because I have fools around, and I'm loving this. Here is that I hear Joe Schiavone. Okay, look, I'm sorry. Can I bring this man's name up? Mr. Joe Schiavone.
Bad enough to go on television and have a press conference.
You need to call in the station here and explain what you mean by the governor just can't get something done by saying he's going to do it. He's done what he said he was going to do for the past 4 years. So now I'm sure that he knows what he's doing to get the rest of what he has to do done during the next four.
Come on, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said. Well, he really didn't give any details.
And he doesn't have to give all the details, but...
No, Jeff. The speech was 1 hour and 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really want to sit up and hear John Kasich talk until this morning?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. John Kasich, whether I like his bedside manner or not, has nothing to do with how effective he's been as a governor. You're losing people in the state of Ohio. There's no doubt about it. But you're also solidifying the state of Ohio so it's ready and open to do business. He said he was going to take the pressure off of some off the people that pay property tax to run schools and cut cut wages. So guess what? He knows of some kind of thing that's going to happen, I mean, that can happen to do that. But here's the thing that you don't understand. Your guy, who has never done nothing, okay, he's running Cuyahoga County right now, and he's running, doing this thing. What is he going to do? And what is he going to tell us?
I can tell you what he's going
to
tell you.
Yeah, but I want them to tell me what he's going to tell us that he can do, and we can just believe it because he says that he's going to do it. When Kasich is there, has done everything he said he was going to do. Okay, and then this guy is an unknown quotient. You tell me that one, Mr. Schiavone. See, I'm not for you like that. See, you're throwing rocks and trying to hide your hands, and you're being stupid. You call in the show 330-781-9600. If anybody knows him that hears it, call him and tell him to call in and explain his criticism of the governor. I would just like that. The governor of Ohio.
Yes, why are you talking? You're just talking noise. You know he ain't going to call in.
I don't know that he's not going to call in. I don't know that. Mr. Garberry, you call in and explain it.
Yeah.
You're a friend of mine. I live two blocks from you. Call me.
Yeah. They ain't going to call in.
330-781-9600.
Jeff, they ain't calling in.
I gave them an opportunity.
They're not calling in.
No.
I'm not going to blow my no. They're not going to call in. I want them to call in.
I'll do.
They can come in, call in, whatever they want.
Come
stop
in, call in.
4040 seminars. Come on.
I couldn't hear that one. what address? 4040. Simon Road.
That's it. Mm-hmm. They're not coming in. They're sitting up there talking.
I'm just saying.
Listen, but you got to understand.
It made me mad.
Why would you get mad?
I got mad at this because some of our people were going to his fundraiser, bless you, going to his fundraiser saying he was a nice guy.
I
said he took the first chance that he got after Kasich was here and opened up that new factory here to slam him when he offered to help the people here get the schools together. He said, I'll sit down with whoever you guys want me to sit down with, and we'll work this thing out. And he goes, well, Mr. Schiavone, once again, well, he was very vague, and he wasn't just doing, saying anything about what he was going to do to help this. I said, he didn't do nothing. He said he was going to sit down with you. You make the decision, Mr. Schiavone. What are you doing?
Yeah, this is the issue. You got to say something because you're not allowed to be on the phone. And this is my issue.
But let him say it.
But this is what's wrong with our system, period.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's wrong. Because even when you're right, I can't say you're right. I saw a posting on a tweet last night from some black lady talking about how Governor Kasich is not helping minority businesses in the state.
Oh, I wish I could have seen that one.
I said, and you got the answer, you got the issues.
You know that.
I'm not wasting my time with stupid. That was just dumb. I'm taking a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We're ranting and raving, but this is what's wrong with Congress. This is what's wrong with the president. This is what's wrong with the whole nation. People are just playing games because they can, and it's about their power and their structure, but it has nothing to do with you and being right and just doing the right thing. We'll be right back.
House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage.
I am opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. More crews are out patching up potholes in Mahoning County. That's because inmates in the Sheriff's Day Reporting Program are on the job. The county engineer teamed up with the sheriff to make it happen. The sheriff says it helps with jail overcrowding, plus it saves money for taxpayers. The inmates are nonviolent offenders sentenced for minor crimes. Looks like more and more lawmakers want to see Jim Tressel become YSU's next president. During a news conference yesterday, State Representative Bob Hagan said the entire legislative delegation is endorsing the former Penguin and Ohio State University football coach. And a Boardman man spoke at the governor's State of the State address, showing how the heroin epidemic in Ohio is impacting families. His son died from a drug overdose 2 years ago. He was addicted to heroin. The father now spends his time talking to local students about the dangers of drugs. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Tonight on CNBC, meet the Prophet.
My name is Marcus Lemonis. I fix failing businesses.
He's a billion-dollar CEO who puts his money where his mouth is.
My offer is $3.5 million.
With millions riding on a handshake deal, things get real, real fast.
What's your problem?
I didn't agree to this. The deal's off.
You're bankrupt.
The Prophet premieres tonight at 10, right after Shark Tank Tuesdays at 8 and 9.
I will do everything that I can to make you successful.
Only on CNBC.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
Okay, you're a homeowner and you're behind on your monthly mortgage payments. Well, guess what? You are not alone. So what are your options? Lose your home? Or how about trust the bank that puts you in this position to help you get out of it? Yeah, okay, really? Well, if your situation is bad, you have nothing to lose at this point. So take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-213-6981. When you call the Foreclosure Defense Network, they will give you information that can stop your home from going into foreclosure, information that can even get your home out of foreclosure. They can even lower your monthly mortgage payment and get rid of all your unsecured debt. And here's the best part. There's no fees if they can't help you. make the call. 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981. The consultation is free. The programs are real. Don't lose your home. Call the Foreclosure Defense Network today. 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981.
We made Tylenol Sinus to relieve your sinus headache. You made popcorn to perfection. We relieved your sinus congestion. You found the perfect movie for your kids. We eased your sinus pain. You got your kids to bed without a peep. Only Tylenol Sinus combines the number one doctor-recommended brand of pain relief and a powerful decongestant. But for everything we do...
Can I sleep in your bed?
We know you do so much more. Tylenol Sinus. Use as directed.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And if anybody sees any of our local legislators here that can answer their rhetoric for, and if anybody wants to answer on their behalf, please just give me a call. If anybody sees Beatrice who can actually answer some of these questions, tell them that there's somebody talking about them on the air, because I'm just so confused. But Jeff, they ain't going to call. But now listen, you don't like my song, and I tried to go to Benny and the Jets.
I love your song.
But you got to understand, and I know I'm wearing it out, but y'all don't understand. You know
first
my song
I learned how to play on the piano.
What? Benny and the Jets? You got to understand. Listen, we talk about some really crazy stuff, and my blood pressure goes up. So every break, I got to find something to bring it back down. And Pharrell Williams has really done it for me.
Who has?
Pharrell Williams.
Oh, that's good.
He's really done it. I mean, I know the words. Hey, local call, your mic is on. Is that you?
It's me. How are you?
Oh, no, you're not the legislator.
No, we were hoping.
No. Is he calling in?
I don't know. I doubt it.
You can hang me up if he does.
Okay.
I agree with you all completely. And when I heard them criticize the governor and say he has all these promises and no plan to implement them, I thought, didn't he say that he would help lower the household property tax by... using casino revenue. To me, that was a logical plan. But didn't I hear a few weeks ago someone talk about how the federal minimum wage should be $10.10, but no idea of how we're going to do that?
There you go.
I mean,
I compared the two
speeches, and one left me with, you know, all this, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We don't know how, but we're going to do this and we're going to insist upon that. And our governor's message clearly linked, we're going to proceed in this way. I thought, who were they listening to? And, you know, this happens so much and my blood pressure goes up too because I think they're just blinded to support their person. And... It's ludicrous. I mean, you watch them, and I always think about that, the Emperor's New Clothes, how, you know, somebody has nothing on, and yet his loyal subjects will tell him how spectacular he looks. And I can't imagine that Fitzgerald running the state. I just can't imagine it.
Listen to this. These are quotes from Governor Kasich last night. We're making a real positive difference in the lives of the mentally ill and addicted. All of us know someone who's close to us who has a drug and or is mentally ill. And we see what they go through. He comes out and he says, parents and community leaders should visit starttalking.ohio.gov to learn more about how to fight drug abuse.
See, I view him as a very genuine person. I mean, some people may not like his, his delivery or his...
I'm not looking for a style.
That's it. I want substance. And the state has achieved a lot under his administration. And, I hate to say it, but when Governor Strickland was in, I was misled because, people were talking about him, and I thought, oh, he's a former minister, and he's somebody who will really understand his responsibilities, that, number one, he answers to God and then the people. And I was disappointed with him, greatly disappointed with him. And I think people have to be, how do I want to say, they have to be analytical, but they also have to have some wisdom about, the people that they put in. Look at their life and look at what they're doing. Look at who their friends and associates are. Like this whole thing about, Bob Hagen. To me, for them to put his wife up and she has no background in politics, it's almost like this office belongs to us and we're keeping it.
Thank you.
It's a dynasty.
It does not belong to them. It's the people who put a person in office. And I think she they say she's going to start a door-to-door campaign. Oh, how humble. it's, again, ludicrous is the best word I can use. Some of the things that are done. And when they had that little party of officers from the Democratic Party, just looking at them, and you think, these are people who should be focusing on some of their own issues before they start attempting to deal with other people. They're not a strong group of candidates. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to be in political office, because none of us are. But there are some people who really need to clean up issues in their own lives. Like if they have tax problems, or if they have drug or alcohol problems or whatever, that should be their focus. How can you come and tell me how you're going to help me when you don't know how to help yourself?
I agree with you, and I look at this, and I'm not perfect, and I run for office.
But Tracy, none of us are.
But this is not. She's not running because she wants the office. She's running because they want to stay with the job that they have. But if you look at the history of what Bob has done while he's been in Columbus, you cannot find anything. He's not Harry Michelle.
He's a naysayer. They're all that group with what was it, Gerberry, Schiavone, Hagen, Lutzen. I can't remember if there was anybody else there. They're all naysayers. I haven't heard anything come from them that was uplifting, helpful. I haven't seen them do anything while they were in office that really stands out. And, it's easy not to be criticized if you're not doing anything. You're safe. You just smile and go to all kinds of events, kiss babies, do things, and nobody has anything that they can attack you with. But it's the person who's working and taking some risks, and they just sit back as naysayers.
It's even not even naysayers. They're worse than naysayers. I mean, seriously, who holds a press conference before the speech?
I know, very poor taste.
Seriously.
If the voting population are reasonable, they would look at these things, analyze them, and think, boy, this is a desperate attempt. These people are not secure.
What do you mean desperate attempt? They're desperate attempt with the blessing of the Democrat Party. They've already been endorsed by the state as well as the local. The state actually endorsed them before the closing of filing. They didn't even know who was running.
I know, but they're desperate in this scenario for that Fitzgerald.
I don't even know what
they've got to come out for their candidate before the governor speaks. It just shows me that Fitzgerald is weak, and they've got to do everything they can.
She's got a point there.
That's what I see.
He's very weak.
That's how I viewed that. We've got to come out and say, we've got to come out here and try to steer the boat in the other direction because, he can't stand on his own merit. We've got to try to, criticize and put down the governor because our candidate can go toe-to-toe with him. And I think all that was, like a smokescreen.
I don't even know. I don't know what that was.
But, if you're a reasonable person and you look at these things, they don't inspire any kind of faith and trust.
I was just so amazed. I really was. I was just so amazed I mean, you know, sometimes I can tell you that a Democrat is, you know, I agree with something. I can say that, you know, and there are certain times I can agree with certain things that they say.
Well, I was a former Democrat,
but
and I saw what was going on, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, they're not true to what's, you know, the old Democratic.
No, not even close.
You know, no, not at all. The old Democratic values and the old Democratic work ethic.
I don't.
Not at all, and they appear weak. To me, weak and ineffectual. I can't see them accomplishing anything. They're too much about trying to get their, you know, their face time, and there's nothing of substance that's coming from them. And with this Michelle Lepore Hagan, I look at her and I just picture that in the privacy of their home, he said, "Honey, you've got to do this for me."
And
it's okay.
You know, I want to applaud Governor Hagan. Governor,
my God, don't even wash your mouth out with soap. Go straight to the bathroom right now.
I want to applaud Governor Kasich for mentioning God and his faith last night. You know, you don't hear that too often anymore in political speeches. Everybody tries to run away from what they believe and where their conscience lies. And I've got to applaud him for coming straight out and saying, you know, the faith that he has in the God that has governed him to help him make the decisions that's right for Ohio. Hold on, Alabama, your mic is on.
What was going on? I thought I told you not to play that song no more.
Well, you need to get on a plane and come to Ohio.
I need to come there and bust your head to the white meat because I know you not to play that song no more. I'm sick of that I got a song. I'm going to suggest a song for you, Papa Music. Because everybody likes Bob Marley. Everybody likes Bob Marley. Give me
Marley.
No,
I played a song.
No Woman, No Cry. How about that?
No, I did that last week. I played and this morning.
No Woman, No Cry.
No, I played Elton John this morning.
No Woman, No Cry.
Everybody don't like Elton John, man.
Everybody
don't like Elton John.
I ain't a Bob Marley fan.
In your eyes. Well, look, Bob Marley has white and black fans, is what I'm saying. Everybody's not just one way with Bob.
There's something wrong now, though, Alabama. She ain't no Bob Marley fan.
I ain't a Bob Marley fan.
How could you not emancipate yourselves from mental slavery? Nothing but ourselves can free our mind. How could you not like Bob Marley?
I needed a song that was going to me happy. So,
and you don't think? Hold up, No Woman, No Cry should make you happy.
No, not like this. This one is
No Cry. He ain't got no woman. He ain't got to worry about it.
Listen, this is what you call happy is a little ditty.
Please don't play that song.
Please don't play it
no more.
I can't.
It's all in commercials. I mean, come on, man. God.
I need the little ditty to make me smile.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. Hold on, listen to me. It's just February. You can go run on a treadmill, get some endorphins released in your brain, and that'll make you happy too.
I did that already.
So you don't need the song.
No, I need the song. The song does wonders for me. And now that I know the words, you don't understand. I got it bad.
I was gonna call and make a point about the minimum wage. As soon as I clicked on, I'm like, oh, have mercy. Anyway, my thing is with minimum wage. Like, I can understand if a politician says, "Hey, I want to help the little guy," but what I don't understand is, anybody that's ran a business, businesses fail because they're not making any profit, right? So why would you make a sweeping statement about every business in the United States raising up $3 per employee and think that somehow that means that, you know, you can afford that? People don't go into business. This is just 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, every business cannot afford to raise the amount that they pay. If you got a business paying somebody $7 an hour and you want to raise it to $10, just common sense would tell you, and every business owner is not some Fortune 500 company with a CEO that flies in a personal jet or something. I mean, this is a middle America. The small business is what holds this country together. And then you want to turn around and say that everybody needs to go up $3. I just, for the life of me, cannot understand that logic. And even though you can sit and show someone, hey, if you do this, this is how many jobs it's going to cost. You just, I mean, common sense will tell you it's going to cost jobs. I'm not, I mean, it only applies value to what service or goods that you can create or bring to the market. And if you don't have any good education or any good things that you bring to the market, any skill set, then you're going to be a low wage worker. And you're going to only bring a certain amount. And when it comes, I'm just going to work the other workers hard and fire one of y'all. No, but you got to work twice as hard before I go into business just to give you money so you can go home. And you didn't put in, you're not taking any effort, you didn't take any risk to start this business, you didn't save your money, you didn't do anything. You get out of school, you didn't try to better your education, didn't try to have any type of skills, but now you feel as though you're entitled to something. Because, let me say this right here, one thing, last thing. When someone says living wage, right, if that person has another child, that person got a child, now they have some twins. Now do you have to go up to $22 an hour because they can't make it off $10 an hour? Shouldn't it be the person's responsibility instead of saying, okay, I got two more kids now, so you should pay me more. I don't care if you do go out of business. I deserve $17 an hour now because I can't make it off $10. I mean, that's the stupidity of it. And people, and it just shows most people in America have never written assign the payroll check, because if they have, labor is the biggest cost you're going to pay for.
Most people in office have never been in business or signed a payroll check, or as a matter of fact, a lot of them haven't even held a real job.
That's right.
They got personality, they got charisma, and people like them, and so they elect them, and they start at the school board or city council, and they bounce their way up. But as far as them ever having any sense of real-world experience, they're as dumb as a cluck. And that's why we have the mess we have today. We're in this mess because the President of the United States has no idea what it means to try to make it happen. He's been an academic. He went and got a job. He was a community organizer. He ran for office. And he's a conniver because he throws people under the bus to get what he wants, and he got where he's at, where he is. It is what it is.
Tracy?
Yes?
I was at a fundraiser the other night, and we were working, and I was working beside a friend, and we were talking about nursery rhymes and how when children are little, some of the things that we sing to them are frightening, but they're not aware. You know, like the little baby in the cradle in the treetop and when the
bottom. Rock-a-bye baby, yeah.
Rock-a-bye baby. You know, I said, and they're just smiling and cooing, and we're singing these horrible things to them. And I said, you know, there's an analogy or a connection for what we're going through. I said the political figures are singing songs and telling stories to us, and I said they think that we're stupid and we're just, you know, like in la-la land. I said it's almost like, remember Rumpelstiltskin and the straw that was supposed to be spun into gold?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at those nursery rhymes, and they said that in that time, the nursery rhymes and the stories were hidden ways of the people protesting against the government.
Now, that's what I heard also.
Yes. And so I said to my friend, I said, you know, we should take a deeper look at these. And we thought about that. And it was true. It was a way of the people trying to, you know, like share. You figure they didn't have any. We're going back to that state by not having a media that will, you know, honestly represent the facts.
And you know what? Also, if what is going on with the media and trying to censor what comes out, we're going to. If we keep on going down the road we're on, America will be having these types of coded messages just to get their message out because they're not allowed to say the truth.
Well, that's it. The Emperor's New Clothes was all about that. The Old King Cole was Mary Old Soul.
Mary Old Soul was he. sent for his pipe, sent for his bowl, mm-hmm. and something else. I don't remember whatever.
Of his Fiddler's Three.
Of his Fiddler's Three, yeah. So getting high and listening to music.
How many fiddlers were out there last night, Kate?
Four.
There you go. They added one. But I was going to say that it's an intriguing thing, and we have to look deeply into this.
When did Tom Lutzen get so dense? You did very well on 11 o'clock news. I did not see you this morning. I thought that caught they, because you slammed them, and I don't think they expected that to come out of you. And they just let it through because they were in
what
shock.
What I say?
This is all you said. He said he's going to change the configuration of how the schools pay.
Right.
And he said, and are we, you know, you have these guys. I mean, you were answering what Ford said. But
well, ain't God good?
Yeah, but you said. We spend $7,000 in Canfield, but $17,000 in the city. Is it a matter of us getting more financing for schools, or do we just have to start finding a better way to do it? That was very quick and profound. That was very good, and I was proud of you. I really was.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
It was so succinct and in there. And, you know, that flew over the heads because a lot of people, but somebody, because they did not put it on that news at 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, they didn't?
No. No. You
good on TV.
You weren't on there.
I wasn't on there.
I could not believe that.
They didn't put me on there.
Not on 21. Now,
there was only, I was only on 21.
See, not on 21.
They were always dogging me out.
They put you on last night because
they put me on last night.
Nobody was going to hear.
What about this morning?
Didn't see it.
That's just mean.
Not unless it was at the top of the hour and not at the middle and in the bottom of the hour.
That's just mean.
Well,
hey, good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Turn that new radio down.
Yeah,
you got him a new radio, Trace.
He didn't send me an address. He just sent me a prickly battery. He needed one, too. He needed a radio. That thing had an 8-track on the side.
Oh! That's the best kind.
Yeah, I saw you last night.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you.
No.
What? Oh, I wish I could go back. What he said about the guy that died.
I also want to applaud Governor Casey for giving out the Courage Awards to the three women that were that were held hostage for those 10 years, for a decade, and yet they broke free on their own.
Pretty much.
I mean, the man helped them out, but they broke free on their own. To get out that house, to get to the man.
They put their arm out the door. They had to get everything they could.
And you know what? That's a lesson in life. You've got to break free to get your hand out so that somebody can pull you out. No one can come in and get you if they don't know you're in there. And so you have to do something. A baby has to do something even to be born. Mm. And that's something that we need to learn. Everyone has to do something. You can't get anywhere by doing nothing. And for you to think that everybody owes you something and all you have to do is sit there, you're sadly mistaken. That's not how life works.
You know what? Something very stupid and simple. I have a neighbor through my backyard, and my bathroom and bedroom face my backyard. He has a doggone security light on his house that burns all freaking night long. Why do you need – he needs to get one of those sensor things, right?
Yeah.
But I've been in this house 19 years hating this guy's light, and I never planted a tree to block out the doggone light.
So who saw
that? That's what God showed me this morning, because he said, you could have passed a tree.
Because it's his right to have on the light.
He's right in his light to do what he's doing.
But did you ever ask him to just move the light and
No,
move,
I didn't ask
him to tweet
I
it.
Didn't do nothing. That's the whole thing. See, I did nothing.
You get nothing if you do nothing.
You get nothing if you do nothing.
And that's what's wrong with America.
You
gotta
do something.
And we need to really, we need to teach and we need to do to know that things can happen if you do something, but nothing happens when you do nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, Alabama, I'm not doing Bob Marley. I'm telling you now. You can find another song.
No woman, no cry.
Well, why you can't do Bob, man?
No woman, no cry.
No, Jeff. No, what do you have? You have an idea. What's the idea?
Okay, maybe you could start start some of the mornings with Here Comes the Sun from the Beatles. Remember, that's kind of an upbeat thing.
Oh, it's an upbeat. That's mild.
I hate the Beatles. I hate them. I can't stand them.
Oh,
I can't. I mean, with a passion. With a passion, I can't. I think they're overrated.
Yeah.
And they just still
Alabama,
talking about that
Alabama,
nostalgic.
Sweetie, honey, you can't hate the Beatles and Happy.
No, I love the Beatles, my brother.
You can't. I mean, you don't want Pharrell Williams and you don't want the Beatles.
Oh,
and
I like Pharrell.
I like Pharrell now. Pharrell got some good music.
I don't like nothing else.
Come together by the Beatles. That's the one. Because that's what we're trying to do.
Oh,
Pharrell made some good music now.
I don't like that. I don't like nothing else he made. Except for, and then,
coming up like
and then I don't, and what's his name? The Blurred Lines. He wrote Blurred Lines, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't, I just
yeah,
like the song, but the beat is funky.
Oh, well, it's what did he steal from the thing? That's not though. He stole that directly from Marvin Gaye.
I mean,
directly.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how that came out, but Pharrell. Wait a minute. But Robin Thicke's wife is divorcing it.
Want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
She is.
I can tell you why.
Blurred lines.
I can tell you why.
He blurred them lines.
No, he ain't blurred the lines. Let me tell you what he did.
Oh, one
no.
thing you're asking you, let me be the one you back that thing up to?
No.
That
no,
ain't what he's
no,
saying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you what happened.
What?
He did Blurred Lines. The music went to the roof, and all these women started coming out, and Robin Thicke went crazy. And he started playing around in other people's sandboxes, and his wife said she ain't going to take it. And so she bounced out. She did just like
she bounced out on the highest selling record that he ever had.
And I'm quite sure there was no prenup. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM 600. Listen, everybody who's in the chat room, Eric, South Alabama, and
you go,
Nicole, your mic
you
is going to be.
That's the way.
Morphine, not she's going to go looking for me. I mean, they just said they weren't using it for him. Is that why they don't want it?
I just
wanted
the
essential. No, hey, Roger, back to the morning. Before that, something about the film. No, not you. Okay. You know, guy in our machines about that. What she got last night? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh. With Sean, he might have an extra one. Go home.
Bring me down, can none bring me down. Your love is too hot to bring me down. Bring me down. Happy, happy, happy.
How could you not enjoy that song? How could you get tired of that song?
Easy. Step along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like
I'm gonna do my own video, Jeff. I'm serious, and I'm gonna post it on YouTube. I'm gonna do my own video on this. And I'm going to use my own voice. And I'm going to go to jail for copyright infringement. If I do a parody, then it's okay, right?
Yeah. You won't get sued.
Then I'm going to do a parody.
Happy, happy, happy. Bring me down.
To
bring me down. Bring me down. As I clap along, if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel happiness is the truth.
People need to and people just need to be happy, Jeff. Happy, happy. Without being high. If they were happy, they wouldn't get high. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Everybody's tired of my song but me, but I just have an addiction. So it's okay. It's better to be addicted to happy than to be addicted to anything else. And, well, I take that back because maybe we like people having people be addicted because the only thing the Dems can say right now is they want to legalize marijuana, same-sex marriage, and make sure that more women have access to abortions. And who cares if you get an education? And depend on the government a whole lot more. How you doing? How's everybody doing in there? Did you guys play nice during the break?
No, I couldn't talk.
Why couldn't you, Doc? Your mic is on.
Oh,
you didn't know it.
I think I listened to Eric talking or making a bunch.
What's
of
Eric
noise.
Saying? Is Eric behaving?
He was behaving. Eric. He was talking to somebody.
Eric, who are you talking to?
Oh, that was your neighbor.
Hold on.
You gotta tell him to tune in.
Can I play this? Hold on.
County executive of Cuyahoga County, former mayor of Lakewood, and before that, I served the public both as a prosecutor and as a special agent with the FBI. Most importantly, I'm the father of four children. My two sons will be in college this fall, and my two daughters will be in high school. My wife Shannon and I want them to live in an Ohio that is rich with opportunity. But like many of you, we worry that Ohio is slipping, that my children and many others will be forced to look outside of Ohio to realize their dreams and fulfill their potential.
Especially black ones you wouldn't hire.
So that's different.
I'm running for governor to help ensure all Ohioans have a reason to be optimistic about the future. In his State of the State address, Governor Kasich outlined his agenda for Ohio. The governor explained where he has led our state and the direction he wants to take it. Some of what the governor said sounds reasonable. And some pieces...
What, having a rainy day fund has more than 89 cents?
In the case, what this governor says he will do and what he has done are worlds apart.
You know, I'm going to stop that. That means I have to go back to my happy song.
Because he's lying.
Who's lying?
Fitzgerald is a liar.
Yeah.
He's lying.
Why is he lying?
Call me local Democrat official. I don't care if you're just because he's a liar.
How do you know he's lying?
Because he's saying that the cases didn't do things that he did.
But yeah, he's on the man.
Did you hear Higgins comment last night?
He's a liar. And
did you hear Higgins comment last night?
He didn't. Wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute. He rolled in Cuyahoga County, didn't hire no black folks, and then he want black folks to go vote for him for governor. What kind of fool would they be, except the few that are standing up and saying, yeah, we want Fitzgerald. Although Kasich came in and straightened out the schools with Mayor Frank Jackson.
Yes, he did.
Okay, Frank, he came in there and they made deals and they got those schools in order to now where they have control of them and they're getting things in order. But we want Fitzgerald because that's John AFK's middle name, so he got to be good because it's John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So Fitzgerald, we got to have for governor.
Yeah.
Can't stand that stupidity.
Yeah. Did someone really say that?
No, but
okay,
you know that that's where they're going.
Oh, he's gone. Who else is that? South Carolina, your mic's on. 747, your mic is on. Local call.
What? Now that a governor, somebody endorsing somebody for governor?
Yeah. Who's 747? Is your mic on? You know, we tend to just endorse people because of their political party. We don't find out who they are. We don't find out what's going on with them. We just go ahead and endorse them because.
I'm serious. We forget
to do that. We do some stuff. And I'm looking at. Even when we, and I got to go back to what Diana said, when we look at what they did with the endorsements for the 58th House District, and they endorsed before the ending of filing, and they endorsed someone who has no political experience at all, except that she slept with the last, she slept with a politician called her husband. None.
Not a thing.
And they and I have to say, let me say this, and in Mahoning County, they have never endorsed an African American for anything.
Well, no, yeah, take that back. They took, will you guys put talking in the background, please? Phil.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They placed him in because of it. Hold on. They placed him in because of.
That's a category.
They placed him.
The ones who had him, so she could call.
Yeah.
They placed him. They placed him. They placed him because of a court. They remember they appointed him because of a court of a redistricting gerrymandering case with Bob Douglas and Percy Squire.
He didn't win after that.
And he won, but he won unopposed. Remember, he was always running.
Yeah.
But they never endorsed a black African American candidate. And they weren't endorsing. They don't do that. Private caller, your mic is on. You're calling from an unlisted number?
Tracy?
Yes.
When I woke up this morning, I was late getting up. But I heard you and Jeff talking something about the cost of the cost of educating a kid in Youngstown.
Yes, ma'am.
High school against the ones in college, and he said
no.
Something.
No. I said it costs $17,000 a year to educate a student in Youngstown City School.
Yeah, and it costs $8,000 to go to Youngstown State University for the same amount of time.
No, I said Canfield.
No. Well, where did you get that from?
I'm not quite sure. I believe it's somewhere around $8,000 or $9,000 out in Canfield, 17 inside the city.
No. Where did you get the where did you hear that at before you went to the
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not
because
quite sure.
Because the reason I asked you at the last school board meeting.
Okay.
Emma addressed the school board on that issue. And
okay.
And when he addressed the school board, he also sent an email out, and he sent it to the, you know, so-called leaders of the community, like the pastors, the NAACP. He sent it to the Newswire, and I think he sent it to all news branches here in the state of Ohio. I don't know how far other he sent it. But, you know, when you go down to the school board, nobody, they have a rule that you can only talk 5 minutes, and they don't have to answer you. Gemma asked for an answer, and the president of the school board said that he didn't have to answer nobody because he was elected by the public, and his job was not to worry about the kids that are failing in Youngstown City Schools because, you know,
who said
67%
that?
Of the
Pam.
Kids in Youngstown. Huh?
Pam, who said that?
That's what Dickie Acheson, the president of the school board, said. So,
then you ought to remove him from office right now.
But I'm saying,
yes,
I haven't called you. I've been listening.
You can recall him.
You cannot recall a school board member.
No,
why?
You can't. But,
state law.
But wait a minute. Here's what I'm saying. This evening is school board meeting down at 20 West Wood Street, and
yes,
we
ma'am.
Intend to go down there in full force. We intend to get a answer from Dickie one way or the other. So I was going to call you and tell you that it's time for the people in Youngstown to quit talking and start walking because our kids are failing. Our kids are 67% of them do not get math. 68% of them are failing in reading. We have kids failing in science. And for the last 15 years, and now we're going into the 16th year, Youngstown City Schools has been rated as an F.
Ms. Pam?
And we got people on the school board, 6 of the 7 look like us, but they don't want to listen to what we have to say. All we asked them to do was to form a task force with our group where we could sit down and talk about the problem before the school board meeting, because you know once they go in executive session, they do whatever it is they want to do, and when they come out, all they do is call some numbers and go either yay or nay, and then the school board is over with. We ask them that if would they sit down and talk to us before the school board meeting, after the school board meeting, or whenever, but they refuse to do that.
Ms. Pam?
Yes.
Ms. Pam, let me say this. It is imperative, and I think that your group should actually give and give the governor.
We got a letter from the governor. The governor agreed with us. The State Board of Education agreed with us. The commissioners agreed with us. They even directed the school board to accept the president's executive order for excellent education for African-American kids. It took us 8 months, and they wouldn't listen to us. But when Ms. O'Neill told them to do it, they adopted it, but they have never put it before the school board, and they have never put it into practice in the schools.
Then let me ask
and
this,
you
Ms.
were
Pam.
Talking about the money, the $17,000.
Yes,
year,
ma'am.
Last year, when the school board and the union went for a raise, everybody in the schools got a raise, except the kids' grades haven't moved. So that is what we're fighting. You're paying somebody to undereducate your kids, and nobody is stepping up except our group.
Miss, this is the problem that we have, and I'm being honest with you. When we cry loud, when we say something, we need for people to stand up with us. And, you know, Ms. Pam, I'd love to get with you and Gemma McWilson, have a conversation, and then address their body and become proactive politically. Because Jeff was saying you can't recall school board members. It is the only elected office you cannot recall in the state of Ohio.
And let me say this, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you because I'm on Talk Blog, and I'm going to turn my radio back up. But we have 6 school board members that look like the children in the schools that are failing. And we have the most inept school board that we have ever had. I mean, you have to come and listen to them. You have to come and see them to understand that the people that are on the school board, we only got one person on that school board, the one person that at first I thought maybe would not stand up, and the only person on that school board is standing up and trying to get them to listen.
Who is that person?
Is Jackie Adair. She's the only one that when they vote on all these crazy things and everything goes yay, 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 she's the only one to sit up and say nay. So,
I believe it.
I mean, I need you or Jeff or someone who has an access to the people to come to the school board meeting. It would be great if one of you all showed up tonight because we will be down there in full force.
Ms. Pam, what time is the school board meeting tonight?
If you want to talk, you know, you have to sign up before 5:30. If you 5:31, they don't take your request. So if you want to talk, you have to be there before 5:30.
Ms. Pam, I cannot.
The school board meeting is at 6 o'clock. Because
listen,
they go into executive session. That's where they decide whether or not all of these ordinances that they talk about.
No, that's not how they do it, Ms. Pam.
That's
not how they do it.
I'll call you and tell you how they do it, but they don't do that in executive session. They do it 3 and 3. But listen, I know I can't, my schedule, I know I cannot make it there at 5 o'clock tonight, but I will get with you and Gemma and we will get together and organize something so that I can come down.
Okay. Well, that's
okay.
What I wanted to call you, you know, because, you know, I'm not trying to save the world. I'm not trying to save Youngstown. I'm just trying to save our kids that are drowning in an inept school system right here in the city of Youngstown, because this is where I know I can make a difference.
Thanks, Ms. Pam.
Okay, and
I'm
going to hang up.
Thanks. I want to say this. and when to talk about education, and Jeff, I was telling the school board is the only elected official that cannot be recalled because of law. They have no law to recall school board members. I don't know why. I don't know how that happened, but I know that we've addressed it several times on the board of elections, and it is you can't recall school board. But this is my issue. I am tired of us continuing to allow the same people to take advantage of us in our community across the nation. And we sit there and we coddle these people and we don't do what's necessary to get them out of office, to make them go away. And they come around and because of they look like a duck, smell like a duck, but they're really a frog because they didn't put on a duck costume. We are going to have to quit following the Schiavonis. He's not running unopposed. Hagan's going to be the court. We're going to let them walk in like nobody's business. And because of our egos, you got two black folks who might make a very, very good state representative. They're not going to win because they're in the same race together, and you can't put two black people in a race and think you're going to come out with one because we still vote based on racial lines in Mahoning Valley. And I'm just being candidly honest, and I'm saying this stuff alive and on the air. You know, sometimes we don't say everything on the air, but I'm just going to come right out and say it and get yelled at when I get off the air. We're going to have to. It is imperative that we are going to have to get involved and get and make systemic change, because if you want to see your children get educated, you're going to have to do something different. And what's going on right now is our children are not getting what they need so that they can be prepared for the future. And if the schools are failing, they're competing with the whole global world. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to be in huge trouble. Huge. And your communities will be no more. I'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. More crews are out patching up potholes in Mahoning County. That's because inmates in the Sheriff's Day Reporting Program are on the job. The county engineer teamed up with the sheriff to make it happen. The sheriff says it helps with jail overcrowding, plus it saves money for taxpayers. The inmates are nonviolent offenders sentenced for minor crimes. Looks like more and more lawmakers want to see Jim Tressel become YSU's next president. During a news conference yesterday, State Representative Bob Hagan said the entire legislative delegation is endorsing the former Penguin and Ohio State University football coach. And a Boardman man spoke at the governor's State of the State address, showing how the heroin epidemic in Ohio is impacting families. His son died from a drug overdose 2 years ago. He was addicted to heroin. The father now spends his time talking to local students about the dangers of drugs. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Tonight on CNBC, meet the Prophet.
My name is Marcus Lemonis. I fix failing businesses.
He's a billion-dollar CEO who puts his money where his mouth is.
My offer is $3.5 million.
With millions riding on a handshake deal, things get real, real fast.
What's your problem?
I didn't agree to this. The deal's off.
You're bankrupt.
The Prophet premieres tonight at 10, right after Shark Tank Tuesdays at 8 and 9.
I will do everything that I can to make you successful.
Only on CNBC.
It was the worst airplane trip I'd ever been on in my life. I looked at my boarding pass. They had me in row 187K. 187K. I didn't even realize they made airplanes that big. I mean, economy ended in row 90, so you can imagine the section I was sitting in. Well, I finally got to my seat. What a nightmare. On one side of me, a screaming baby. No adults. Just a screaming baby. On the other side, a fish. A fish, yeah, a real fish. I mean, usually I like to talk to the guy sitting next to me, but this character had no personality at all. Although he did kind of chuckle when the stewardess mentioned that the seat could be used as a flotation device. Anyway, just to show you how rude this guy was, he starts smoking a pipe and fills the whole cabin up with smoke. But I got the last laugh when the stewardess came around. He ordered red wine. Fish with red wine. Imagine that. You just did. You saw it on the radio.
Get your business noticed. Call 330-783-1000.
You tell kids at the ranch you love them, they get tears in their eyes.
These are teenagers.
Jumpstart your day with the I-Man.
It's a beautiful morning.
Especially when you're getting in the sleeping bag with them.
Yeah,
they're crying all right.
No,
yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of image that's not going
to
be helpful.
No wonder you take this cell phone from
us. Oh, God.
Northeast Ohio's home for IMUS, right here on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here it is, everybody's favorite time of year, income tax time. Right now, Legacy Financial Strategies will do your income taxes for just $79. Here's David Gollner.
Legacy Financial Strategies offers complete income tax preparation for only $79 for ages 50 and over. We also review last 3 year tax returns. Includes short and long form, schedules A, B, D, E, and free e-filing. We have every state tax form. Call toll-free at 800-264-4963. Our address is 3087 Innovation Way in Linden Point. That's Harmony, Pennsylvania.
That number again is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Don't sweat this tax season. Let Legacy Financial Strategies do your taxes for just $79. Some restrictions apply.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 10:33, and it is the 25th of February 2014. Jeff and I are sitting here in the studio in the balmy, snowy Youngstown, Ohio, and I hope you're having a good day as you're listening across the country and across the valley.
You know what?
There you go, Jeff.
I was going to say.
What? I was trying to play something else, but it wouldn't play. So I had to go back to Happy. Okay. This is such a, I can't sing to that. Maybe I'll do a little Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you guys, this must be gone after and changed.
What?
That when a school board member does not operate in the best interest of the children of the school district, that he can be removed from office by a recall of his the public and his
peers. It has to be changed.
Has to be changed.
It might have to be changed, but right now it ain't changed.
Why hasn't that been brought up?
I don't know. I don't know.
That needs to be done. I mean, because there's no way you should get an answer of, I don't have to be concerned with the failing kids of the city of Youngstown, when that's your sole duty is to operate the board right, so that it will benefit the children.
I'm just telling you the law.
I mean, and I love everybody involved, but that's ridiculous.
I will say this. The number is 347-945-5229. I was sitting in a meeting, and they asked me about getting some information on a recall of a school board member, and it wasn't in the city of Youngstown, it was in another area.
Right.
And it was in the last year since I've been on the Board of Elections, and I said, okay, I'll get it for you and send it to you. So I called out to the Board of Elections. I said, listen, they sent me the information for what's needed for a recall for a school board member.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay. And so they called me back. I get a text saying, you cannot recall a school board member. So I stopped my car, called the number, say, what do you mean you can't recall a school member? And it is in the law that school board members cannot be recalled. And I said, excuse me? And so I had to call back the people and say, listen, I'm sorry, but, you know, no matter what, unless you can kidnap them for a while, school board members cannot be recalled. So that's the law. And if you don't like it, call your legislator.
That has to be...
Call your legislator.
Well, our legislators
go
are...
Go call your legislator.
They need to be removed, so I'm sorry. You can't, that's not a good...
Go call
good
your
deal.
Legislator.
You have to go to some other legislators and find them.
Go call your legislator. Hey, South Carolina, what's going on down in your woods? And how is the weather down there? You can tell me today. I'm in a good mood. I played happy. Okay. I guess he's outside having a picnic.
Yeah, it's probably still 50 down there at least. It's getting cold. You going to make some money?
No, it's my arm, not my hand.
I don't know. Might be more money.
That's good. I like that. More money. I want to go. Did you know that RuPaul rung the bell at Wall Street?
No, but might as well. Did the president call him and tell him he was proud of it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And did you know that the Boeing lost a contract that went over to Brazil to Saab?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It went over to Brazil.
To Saab.
The one they moved for?
Saab wins Brazil jet deal after NSA spying sours Boeing's bid. I'm sorry, sours Boeing's bid.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So Alex just sent that over. And I want to go
our
back.
Our illustrious government is so nice.
I'm trying to tell you. There's a showdown in Arizona.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
America's losing its footing. There's stuff going on. We're going to end up back in war. I understand they're going to cut the military because of budget cuts. They're going to downsize the military. I'm not quite sure if I agree with that. I don't think I do. There was something else I didn't agree with, and I put that on my Facebook page the other day. And I just said, you know, I just don't agree with this. And I happen to I don't think people are really paying attention to what the navigation of our country. And I have to say, we need to really, whether it be the school board or whether it be the local municipality, we need to start paying attention a whole lot more to what's going on. If you love your children and your grandchildren, you're going to have to become a little bit more in tune to what they're learning and what they're knowing and what they're doing inside of the schools. I mean, if Youngstown is at the bottom and we have 88 counties
with lots of different schools
and
you've got
you know hundreds of schools, and Youngstown
mm-hmm.
is in the bottom two, Youngstown and Warren. Where do you think they are in the world? And your lawmakers and your policymakers and people, they're not really, they don't have you or your children or their future. They don't have them at heart. I mean, I sit there and I'm watching them play ping pong with your future as long as they get theirs for right now. And I pray that we will wake up one day and say no more before it's too late. And I appreciate what Ms. Pam and her group is doing. I appreciate that, but it's not enough. It's not enough. I mean, we're fighting over minimum wage instead of trying to find jobs that would pay more than minimum wage. I mean,
611 school districts in Ohio.
You got 80. You got 80 in Mahoning County.
Not 80 districts.
Yeah.
No, you can't have 80 districts
what do you
in
mean?
School, and you don't have that much. That
okay,
many
you
school
got
districts.
You got 40 in Mahoning County.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, West Branch.
Hold on.
Sebring. Louisville.
Uh-huh.
Youngstown.
Uh-huh.
Coitsville.
Uh-huh.
Louisville, Mr. Coitsville, Boardman,
uh-huh.
Austintown, Youngstown. Your charter schools.
Oh, okay, you're counting all your charter schools as districts. Okay.
I mean, you've got, I mean, so I may be off, but it's not by much. It's a crazy number. And
I
they
mean,
go.
That's a lot. That's a lot to be saying.
I mean, it may not be that many.
It can't be. It can only be something like 15, 20.
Oh, no, Jeff. It's more than that.
You got Atlanta.
You got Salem. You got Salem. You got Brookfield Hubbard. I mean.
I got you.
You got Brookfield Hubbard. What?
I'm trying to think about this.
Brookfield and Hubbard are the same size. So why have they not merged?
They should. I mean.
You know, you got Southington. Southington only has 1,200 students in the whole district.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So their whole school belongs in one building. Okay, the number 347945. What are you looking at, Jeff?
I'm trying to find how many.
205. Stix, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing great, Tracy. You know, I've been listening this morning. You guys have been talking about education, and we're going to have to figure out how to grab these kids when they're little and make them want to learn. Because that's what it all boils down to. If by the time they hit teenagers, if they don't want to learn anymore, you can beat them over the head with a sledgehammer and they're not going to learn anything.
It's not the kids. It's the adults. This is not kids.
Something happens to the kids. And I don't know if it's the adults influencing the kids or what, but you take a five-year-old kid of any race, any color, any persuasion, and that five-year-old kid wants to learn. They can't wait to get those crayons and go to school the first day. And by the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, they don't want to go to school no more.
But what I'm saying to you is it's the adults. It's us. We send them into it. Right now, the politics. Why would they want to do anything that we're very disingenuous. Why would they want to do anything that we say when they see us lie? They see us play kids. Kids are very smart.
What do you mean when they see us lie? Enlighten me.
The school teacher, they go to school to learn, but yet
right?
We don't teach. We don't take a personal interest in who they are. I mean, a child has to be cultivated. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have kids.
Yeah, they're a crop. They need nurture to grow.
Absolutely. And so parents don't do it. Neighbors don't do it. Society sure doesn't do it. Right now, we're trying to just convince them that to choose their sexual identity. But they go into the classroom, and we don't treat them as though they are important. The teachers have been beaten up by the administration. The administration is beaten up by the school board and how things work. And the school board, today, they're just using it as a launching pad for their next position in office.
19.
Mm-hmm. In Mahoning County?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not 80. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
No. I mean,
the school districts, you know, you couldn't merge a lot of those school districts. The cultures of the people in those school districts wouldn't mesh.
Why not?
Because you could do it.
Why not? Because
I don't.
That's what I'm saying. Because why don't? And so you don't. You're right. I don't think so. But who cares what we think when it's the right thing for our children?
They have to merge.
The kids would be okay. It's the parents that would be a problem.
Mahoning County should be one big district, period. And, you know, it's not going to change your residency because you're going to go to school where you live at unless, you know, somebody is able to be open district, I mean, you know, open schools somewhere, et cetera, et cetera. That's the only way you can really get this done economically, because it's just too much replication.
So do you break half of West Branch School District out of Mahoning County?
Say that again.
Do you break half of West Branch School District out of Mahoning County?
No.
West Branch School District goes from the Mahoning County line clear down to Carroll County. Clear down almost to Minerva.
But what you would do is you would actually make...
So do you break half of that out and send those kids to Salem?
It depends. It all depends on the geographics of the school. But the district itself, it makes no sense for us to have... you have 19 schools.
19 superintendents.
Making $100,000.
Yes. 19 assistant superintendents. you know, your own garages for all of that. No place. These things are just reproduced at a huge amount of money.
Carroll County, the entire school district is one school system, basically. I mean, you've got two small school districts. You've got one in Malvern that graduates like 30 kids, and then another little portion of the school district over on the west side goes to Sandy Valley.
But, look at how many districts you have. And you're right. They're not going to want it. The parents don't want it. The community doesn't want it, and the politicians don't want it because
the
money that comes in.
They talked about putting Sebring, which graduates somewhere around 40 children a year, and with West Branch, which graduates between 275, 300, and you thought, I mean, them's fighting words.
And what I'm saying is, was it good for the schools? And right now, we're always talking about, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money, we need to bring the money back home. Well, why in the world would you have a whole district where you only graduate 46 students in a year? Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. I wanted to chime in on what you were saying. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Teachers need to impact the lives of the children. I mean, that's the only way that you can really reach the children of today. Unfortunately, we have so much other, and forgive me for saying this because I'm saying it because of lack of other words here. There's so much other hellishness that persists throughout the community. The family has deteriorated, et cetera, et cetera. So you have these children that come to school, and they really come out of households that are beyond dysfunctional. And then you have the teachers that are then required to teach, but they can't teach because now they have to nurture. They have to find out what's wrong. They have to do something to impact. And then you're talking to impact that student. And then on the other hand, you're talking about money, funds that come in. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, you're talking about other monies and things that come in. Make a long story shorter, there are a lot of federal grant monies, et cetera, Race to the Top, et cetera, so on and so forth, that's out there, Title I, blah, 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 et cetera. And then teachers are responsible for teaching the Common Core standards. They're responsible for teaching students, trying to put them at a point where they can excel or meet the requirements for the Ohio Achievement Assessments. And in competing for these monies, there is so much freaking paperwork that's required, administrative time that's required. There's not enough time in the classroom to do everything. And it's a sad cycle. It's a sad cycle, and they force these teachers to do X, Y, and Z to maintain those federal dollars to come in because they compete, and if they don't do whatever on the one end, then another school district will get that money or whatever. I mean, it's a terrible cycle.
It's vicious.
It's a vicious, terrible cycle. It is. And again, where do you find the time to impact children? You have a lot of parents today who do not parent their children. They send students to school who don't know how to read. We get little kids that do not know their left hand from their right hand. Now, when you went to school, did not your parent teach you that?
Listen, I told someone
whether
yesterday.
Whether you came from a household where you had a mother and a father or a single parent, were
I
you
told
not
someone
taught
yesterday,
those things?
Our problem today is when we went to school at 6 years old, when we hit the first grade, oh, at 5 years old, when we got to kindergarten, we knew our colors,
Thank you.
Our ABCs, we could tie our shoe, we knew left from right, and we knew how to sit in a chair.
Thank you. That's another thing. You knew how to sit in a chair and be quiet. We have a whole generation of children. Unfortunately, I've tried to figure this out because I'm thinking, okay, years ago, more people, whether they were Christian or not, but more people were exposed to the church. And so you had parents that took their children to church, and they taught them how to sit within that pew, to be quiet, to listen, so on and so forth. We get children now that's, you know, the only thing they know how to sit before quietly is maybe the computer or something that's on television, but they do not know how to interact with other people. The social skills are almost null and void. And hear what I'm saying. I'm not
that's
trying
amazing.
To go to a far extreme.
That's really. That's
but
amazing.
But
that's real.
But you see some of that. You do. And I'm not knocking all parents because I have some parents that are good parents. I have some grandparents that have stepped in, and they're excellent grandparents. They're trying to do what's right. But like I said, it is a vicious cycle. And, yes, as a teacher, you do need to impact the lives of your students, but there aren't enough hours in the day. And there's not enough days in the week and weeks in the month and months in the year. I mean, there are so many people that are under this entitlement, hellish spirit that people think that certain things aren't my job. I don't know. I would like to look at the other districts that are excelling. I'm wondering if that's a union thought. I don't know if it's just a hellish thought. I don't know what happens where people think that's not my job or that's not my responsibility. That's something that you're supposed to do. And people aren't working together. And I don't know what churches are teaching. I don't know.
Let me say this. You brought church, and I love the way you brought that in. Because think about this. When we were young, no matter where we were, we all had to go to church, whether they believed. I don't know if they were all believers or what.
Right.
We all had to go to church and sit there. And if our mom was in the choir, we all had a pew that we had to sit there, and we weren't allowed to walk back and forth to the bathroom because that could get you killed.
Thank you.
But now let me ask you this. We don't even do that in church anymore, because if you look at what goes on in church with our young people, we still don't make them sit down in church. I'm serious. We give them a children's church, but we don't make them sit down in church. And I'm talking about the good. I'm talking about the ones that bring the kids to church. We still don't teach them how to have respect for authority. Because in a heartbeat, we will tell somebody in a minute, you can't tell my kid nothing in the church.
That's true. Churches have become secularized to a certain extent. And I understand, I think certain things should be children appropriate for them to understand. And I understand, it's like, I don't want to knock totally on that, but there are certain principles and things that we lack and we're missing. But then it goes back to the origin of things. I know people aren't, I'm not politically correct. But God was the one who defined marriage and said, this is why a man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. He gave them a command in terms of how to be fruitful and multiply in the earth. That wasn't just solely, as my grandmother used to say, spending your time on your back just producing kids. But anyways, there is a way of being and doing certain things. And I think that we have removed ourselves from that totally and the responsibility thereof.
Yes, South Carolina?
Listen, you know, back in the day, my mom learned how to be a mother from her grandmother, or my grandmother. And today, you just don't have that. I mean, I'm watching kids in my wife's classroom that come into class, I mean, with mouths like sailors, and nobody wants to hold them accountable for it. You know, it drives her nuts because of the administration is so afraid of being sued by a parent that they don't even want to send an F home. I mean, this is crazy.
How you gonna be sued because I give your child an F?
Huh? Why discrimination? Give you an example. The principal states that the teachers should, you know, like the children, okay? He feels as if, you know, if you give a child an F, you don't like the child. You know, I mean, it's some type of psychology that's been dreamed up in a lab and put into a classroom. I mean, it's these people that come up with these curriculums and these new ideas, the way it's ridiculous. The way Common Core math is crazy, and they're expecting teachers to teach it. I just want to know what the HE double hockey stick was wrong with the way we learn.
I will tell you because And I agree with you wholeheartedly, because I hate to say this. Education wasn't where I began in terms of a career, but when I became exposed to education, my husband can tell you, I said, you know what, the devil is in the system, and he's been in here a number of years. Some of the inclusion classes I understand to a certain extent, but at the same time, you hinder sometimes a lot of other children. I know, again, I'm not being politically correct on this, but I've seen a lot of negative things that happen, and they have stifled children. And then I see teachers who are stressed out.
Just because.
And then think about this. Okay, I'll give you a quick, fast little story. I've had parents, we had several inclement days because of the weather, freezing temperatures, et cetera. I had parents that were frustrated and were saying to me, what happened to the days when we walked to school in the snow and this, that, and the other? I can't stand my kids. I can't wait to get them to you. Do you understand? And I'm thinking to myself, they're not even thinking. If they cannot stand their own child within their own household, why in the world do they think that I must take their child?
Not only that, how do you say that? I mean, geez. I mean, and then have more than one.
You know,
They got some parents down here that are upset because, you know, they didn't take the school the snow days that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them bringing them back on a Friday, they came back that following Monday. There were parents that were upset.
Thanks.
Telling the news media they should have brought. I got to go to work. They need to open up the schools. And I mean, what kind of attitude is that?
They don't want to be parents or whatever. I've seen some things that you would not believe. You would not.
So
believe.
Why have them? Yes, ma'am. Who? Somebody's calling my name out. Who's that? Where? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You talk about children that sit in school and don't pay attention. With all the drugs they're feeding our kids in the school,
that's true.
There is no way in heck that those kids can sit there after they have been drugged out. That's number one. That's one of my pet peeves. That's one of the things that we're trying to fight, is drugging kids in school. When there is no medical reason why you can say a kid is ADHD or whatever it is, that was voted in by a show of hands by psychiatrists at a psychiatrist meeting. So that is a bunch of bunk. When I was a kid going to school and we got rambunctious, we had recess. They put us out in the winter, in the summer, whenever, however hot it was, however cold it was. And if you got out in the cold and you ran around the school to keep warm, when you finally got back in school, you were ready to sit there and
She's got a point there. We
that
took recess
true.
Out.
Number two, you talk about the kids who have parents that are not helping their kids. Those parents, most of them, were taught by the same teachers that's in there now that is not teaching the kids. So if you aren't teaching the kids, you didn't teach the parents. So the parents don't know anything to teach their kids. But what I want to talk about is the kids who have parents that go and make sure their kids go to school, send them to school with the right to learn, and yet when they graduate and they go to college, they have to be remediated because they're undereducated and can't go and take courses at Youngstown State until they go back and renew the 11th and 12th grade because the grades they tested them on is a 10th grade education. So now what about those? You know, we keep blaming parents. Parents are not teachers. And most of those parents were undereducated when they were there. The money that came in, the race to the top money. Youngstown City Schools did not take it because in there it said that they had to be re-educated in order to teach in the 21st century. And the union said, we don't want the money because we don't want to have to take the courses. So now we keep blaming parents who are parents. And like you said, yeah, there's parents in there that are not parents material. There's people in there that are having kids out of wedlock. But what about the kids who came up during the war years? They had I'm 82 years old. I had my first kid in 1947 when I was 15. Had my second kid when I was 17. But both of my kids, I had my mother there to help me. Plus, I got married when I was 15. So I had a husband and a mother, and my mother taught me how to be a mother because she was a great mother. And it wasn't because of her that I got in the trouble I got into. I was just, at 15, I looked 19. And I was the little fast one that was running around and got myself in trouble. But I raised both of my kids with the help of my mother. Both of my kids went to college. Both of my kids got a career. They didn't want to just get a job. They went for a career. I had a son that was teaching down in South Carolina before he passed away a couple of years ago. He was down there at Trident, a junior college. I guess South Carolina know about that one in Charleston. But my daughter, she was working over at Pittsburgh at Children's Hospital. She was a nurse. So I raised my kids. My kids came up okay. But like I said, I got married at 15. I was divorced by the time I was 20 because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But now I'm still here, and I'm still working because I understand how it is to be a young mother that has to raise kids by yourself. But it can be done. So
but can I say something? I want to add to her.
You have to put it on the whole system. Like you said, the superintendent had a breakfast, and 30 ministers showed up. And of those 30 ministers, I was at the breakfast. I was invited. And I was there. And when he was asking them to come in and help him, out of those 30 ministers, I think I see four or five of them that come now and then to the school board. So you cannot blame the parents. Like I said, the parents that are sending their kids to Youngstown City Schools, when they graduate on the National Honor Society and get ready to go to Youngstown State, they have to take a remedial course before they can take the course, college course.
But,
what about those?
But can I say something?
So who do you blame
for
that?
I'm going to say this. Because of some of the changes in the curriculum over the years, and it gets back to what I say, where I saw the devil in the midst of the system, you have certain things like inclusion classes. So you may have some children that are, where years ago when I was in school, you had A, B, and C classes, some that they were geared for college, some that were geared for oh, I forgot what they called it, work, whatever. Anyways, longer story short, now you have inclusion classes. So you have everybody within a class together. So then you have children that are in that classroom who may have some other problems, and there's a lot of discipline problems that are occurring. So think about this. If you have 10 or 12 kids in a class that are actually discipline problems, and then you have, like, I think it was South Carolina that was saying, a principal who tells a teacher something like, oh, if you give a child a bad grade, you know, you've done something terrible to their psyche and this, that, and the other. You can't get rid of them. You can't do this, that, and the other. Imagine one teacher in a classroom of 21 or 25 students trying to handle a classroom where 12 of those students, I mean, are cutting up problems because there are actually certain things that are happening in their household. And if she can't impact their lives personally and do it within a week's time, everybody that's in that classroom is going to suffer as a result of no discipline in the classroom. And it's not necessarily that the teacher can't get discipline. It just takes a longer period of time. And if she doesn't have a second teacher or aide or something like that to help her, and if you have parents who are not willing to come in and get their child together, everybody has to work together. It has to work together. And even when she expressed at the time, everybody has had something negative that has happened in their life at one point in time or another. But just like you gave the example, you lived in a time and a period where people were more connected to God, maybe more moral, maybe had more principles. So your mother came in and she helped you. You got married. You did. It didn't work out, but still yet you did some of the certain things. You worked your way through a situation. You have people nowadays that are under this notion that they're not responsible for anything. I can go do whatever I want. I can go lay with whoever I want. And if I have a problem, somebody else is responsible for my problem. It's just like we had the conversation yesterday, went into the healthcare situation, and somebody was trying to tell me, don't you want taxes to help somebody else? You know, not yourself. I said, well, yeah, I do, but I don't want them to do it at the expense of that I can't take care of my own self. You know, you have all of those things that play into hand. So you have to think about how do we help that teacher. If there are 12 kids who can't sit down cursing people out, how do we handle that?
Because
and then if you have a principal that says if you give them a bad grade,
it's not to have to take care of the kid's social-emotional problem. That is what you have. You're paying somebody there. That's their job. And I used to volunteer in the school, and when I was there, like I said, they had kids on medication. My job when I was there as a volunteer was to take those kids that were interrupting the class when the teacher put the teacher, take them out into a different place, read to them, talk to them, keep them calm down so that the teacher could do her job. You have aides in the school now. That is what they should be doing. You shouldn't have to worry with the kids that are disrupting your class. Because as far as I'm concerned, I was content when they had special schools, special classes for those kids where they could put them in there and let them disrupt one another. But now the law has said you have
they
to bring them into the schoolroom. So when you have those kids, you need someone to take them out so that you can do the job you're getting paid to do, which is teach the kids.
Right,
you're
but then the school will say, I don't have that money. I don't have that money for somebody else. And I know in our school we've tried to get some parents to come in. We get some parents to come in, and then afterwards they see some of the situations, some of them run back out the door. I've seen that. I'm not saying everybody isn't like that. I know you're not like that.
I have been volunteering in the school under three different superintendents. I started with Ben McGee. I was there when Wendy Webb was there. And now I'm there with Dr. Hawthorne. So I know about the kids, and I know about the problem. But you are paid to be a teacher. Your job is to educate the kids. And they have social people in the school. They have people that you can refer to come to do that job. You're not a trained psychiatrist, so you're wasting time on trying to do what you're not trained to do, and yet the kids who you're trained to teach are being undereducated. That's all I'm saying. Everybody should know their place and stay in their place.
I'm just telling you, it doesn't work in the inclusion classes so well.
I heard that. And you know me. You know I work hard in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take no pay. I don't take no. I retired from the state of Ohio. When I was working, I was out there plowing all this white stuff that you all call global warming. I worked out there. I'm retired now. I get a pension. I get Social Security. I don't have to take money to do what I do. I do it because I love the children. So I'm going to hang up.
Hello?
I don't know what happened. Seems like it went dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she went to break.
Okay.
But, you know, one of the things that I've been I've been involved with Head Start and First Step for a number of years and have said that, you know, the parents are in a unique situation. They get the chance to be that child's first teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many parents that just were not engaged in the process. I mean, we could tell which kids were going to be successful in school, you know, just by watching the parent participation level.
I don't care, baby, by the way.
Okay, they're coming back.
Because I'm happy. Come along if you feel like a woman.
It is 10 minutes after 11 o'clock, and the sun is shining and it's snowing outside here in Northeast Ohio called Youngstown, and I'm happy.
Only in America could it snow and sunshine at the same time. And only in Northeast Ohio.
Only in Northeast Ohio. And the number here is 347-945-5229. We were talking about education. I had to take a break. I let them go ahead and do what they were going to do. And it's always good to be here with you. Got Jeff in the studio. I've got Pharrell Williams. And he's just going to I'm just going to have to be one of those people that he's going to pay him when I get done. Because I'm going to make this my new theme song.
You better not pay him when you pay me. You pay me, I'll pay him, okay?
Okay.
There you go.
They say that every superhero should have a theme song.
Okay. I miss my George Duke. I play this the other day. That's my song. I love that song.
Which one?
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. You missed our George Duke one down, and we used to come on with downtown.
Oh, I forgot about that song.
Oh man, I had it on.
I can't remember the name of it.
Too high to bring me down.
See, he is too hap. Listen.
There's a guy who is who's having some issues on the freeway somewhere, and there's a wild chase. He needs some happy music. That's what's wrong. He needs some happy music. All them crazy people, they need some happy music.
Clap along. Now, why did the polio virus affecting small children break out in California?
Because they need Jesus.
No,
okay.
I agree.
You listen again, Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. Alex is in the chat room. He's working now. He moved on us. He's no longer in Florida.
Where did Alex move to?
I don't know. It's an undisclosed location.
Oh man, he's incognito somewhere.
Yeah, he's in a nondisclosed location.
I'm saying he's incognito.
And he won't. And wait a minute, he won't tell nobody where he is.
He might be right down the street.
Listen, I think you know what it is. I think he made some money. And he don't want me to ask.
That's
or nothing.
Probably what it is.
That's what it is.
Ask for it anyway.
I did.
Okay.
I talked to him on the phone. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone number.
Why is that?
What you? Are you cold?
Yeah, it's freezing.
Oh, I'm.
Are you still hot?
I was having a hot flash.
You guys going through this menopause thing? Y'all hurting me over here.
You got one at home and one in the studio.
That's what I'm talking about.
You'll be
all right. What the heck is up with this?
Well, that's why they make sweaters.
I got on a turtleneck and a sweatshirt in there. I'm about to have to put my coat back on.
That's okay. We don't mind. It's hot.
Yeah, we don't mind.
We don't mind. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It's 13 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on the East Coast on WSOM AM 600. Today is the 25th of February, 2014. I hope you're having a good day today, and it is a pleasure and honor to be with you. Please give us a call. What were you guys saying during the break?
We were just still talking about education and even how years ago you still had a moral fiber that was, people made mistakes, but you still had a moral fiber where people still got themselves, they family interacted and helped one another, et cetera. We were just more or less talking some of the same thing that was stated
hey, Carla,
about education.
We don't want no thinking morals.
And
what
that's
is
the
that?
Unfortunate thing. And,
you want a moral? Moral, what is that? what is the definition
true.
Of a moral?
It's a shame that people have removed themselves from the things of God, so therefore, they have nothing, I guess, know what to base their actions on or even see why they act the way they act or react the way they react. So... And then I don't know what the pastors are doing now. So when you look at things like Preachers of L.A. and the Mary Marys.
Girl, don't. There was a song,
okay.
Do What You Want to Do.
Well, I just don't know why we're still having this debate about religion and morals in the public arena area. We need to get over this. You can't teach your kids factual information in school and bring religion in. It confuses the mind. You can't do it now. We have private schools, charter schools, Catholic schools. You can do that. But in the public arena, you just cannot do it. Bottom line.
Can I hold on.
I mean there's no more argument.
Hi, Brown.
Who is this?
That's
no, this is Mike from Baltimore. How you doing, Tracy?
Mike, can I ask you a question, Mike? And this is real quick.
And good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I haven't heard y'all in a while.
Mike.
Good morning.
Mike.
What?
I'm going to come over to your house, and I'm going to slap the crap out of you. Now tell me, when I get done slapping you, anything I see in your house that I want, I'm going to take. You know why? Because I want to. Let me say this really quick. In Detroit, Michigan, a couple weeks ago, somebody left their house for whatever reason. I don't know where they went, but they went somewhere, and they left. They secured their house up.
Mm-hmm.
They locked their house down, and they left it for a couple weeks. Whether it was to go on vacation or whether it was to go take care of a grandma or whether it was to do whatever they did, but they left their house. Somebody figured out that they weren't home, moved into their house, and started throwing parties. And the neighbors were in the house with the people that were throwing the party because the parties, I guess, they was off the chain. So now tell me, how can me not teaching children to be amoral and what's yours is yours and what mine is mine and I need to ask you before I move into your house? And the neighbor said, well, she should have never left her house for that long.
Man. Well, I think stealing is a right. I mean, I think stealing is a universal wrong in all cultures, but everybody
no,
still
not.
Do it. Even listen, on the streets, if you steal something from somebody, they're gonna come and get you. Stealing is wrong in any type of society.
And lying's not.
And why is it wrong?
Huh?
And
it's a common sense. It's wrong. I mean, you can learn from two babies. If one baby take a block from another baby, he's going to start crying. You don't take nothing from nobody without their permission. It's just common.
Why not? Why not?
Interesting. Tracy, I need to ask a question. If you can't teach morals in school, then how the heck did we get away with it up until 1956 or 66? Because I learned the Tenth Commandments in the fourth grade. Even though I knew it from home already. But in fourth grade, we had a big thing with the Ten Commandments right on it.
What's wrong with telling people don't steal?
Tell me that there's no benefit in
don't
having
kill nobody.
A moral code to live by. And you're gonna reject it because of what book it came out of. See, that's
I'm not rejecting the principles. No, I'm not. No, hold up. You're saying it comes from that. Before the Bible was commanded in ancient Egypt, stealing and murder was a crime in ancient Egypt. That's just a fact. So these common things we talk about, there's ways to teach somebody not to steal without using a religious terminology.
No, sir, there isn't. Sorry to tell you. No, sir. Ancient Egypt, when they taught that you weren't supposed to steal, it was on a religious basis. It was not on a secular basis. They had not only that, they were very polytheistic in their belief, except for one or two of the kings. But the thing is ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet, let's go back to all of these things, they all had a religious counterpart to why your conduct was to be a certain way.
Right, so that goes to show that all cultures, like I said before, naturally stealing is wrong before the Bible even came. So I mean that's a fact.
But
I agree with you.
But
even
if
we live
in a Bible,
stealing is wrong in Africa. And that's
Go ahead, Eric.
I mean, if everybody lived by the Ten Commandments, this world would be a much better place. I mean, what's wrong with those 10 rules? I'm the Lord thy God. Don't steal. Don't kill. Do not cover thy neighbor. Do not cover thy neighbor's wife. Do not worship false gods.
Leave your
God.
Wife alone. Leave somebody else's wife alone. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's okay for me to talk about Hinduism and Buddhism and Confucianism and karma and all the rest of that crazy stuff.
But see, it gets sticky. See, listen. It gets sticky when you go to the Bible and some people say, well, you're only supposed to follow the first two commandments. And then they say, well, when we talk about adultery, what is fornication? It gets confusing. Someone's going to tell me if I don't get divorced or if I don't get married right in the right way, I'm still an adulterer or I may be still in a divorce. It goes back and forth. The only thing I'm saying is I agree with y'all, but in a public environment, there's certain way that you can teach manners with not still without bringing religion in it. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not speaking for Jeff, but what I'm saying to you is, if you look at what is taught in schools today, they teach you karma. Karma is a religious term. They teach things that come out of Hinduism. They teach things that come out of Confucianism. They teach things that are Buddhist.
What you show is karma. The Kabbalah is in the Bible. That's karma.
Can I ask you a question? So why is it that if you mention the Ten Commandments, folks lose their mind?
Because you may have Muslims that's in that community, their mother and father may be Muslims. They don't read the Quran. Because, see, listen, she was talking about different curriculums. What's wrong with the education system? We have too many different curriculums from the federal government. I'm controlling our kids. There's too many different curriculums, which is confusing.
What's confusing about a parent teaching their child certain moral principles so that when they come to school, they're ready to learn? And if you don't teach that at home, then you subject your child to me to teach them. So shouldn't you teach your child at home?
Here you go.
South Carolina or Eric, somebody got that noise.
Who is in the store?
Somebody. Yeah, somewhere. I don't know.
That was me. I know I'm out in the...
Mute your mic when you're in the store or something.
Mike.
I'm back now. I'm back.
Okay. Listen. If you had kept the moral code going, you would not have any of the stuff you have right now and the murders that our children are doing to each other over territory, over what they feel that they have control over. And they have no respect for life because we've shown them that there is none, because we kill kids wholesale. Whenever countries did this in the past 10,000 years, those countries were taken into bondage and many of them were destroyed. So therefore, you're dealing with things that you don't understand. They cause and effect when you leave these things off. The people that want one world government cannot have you believing in anything but a very big religion that'll have to fit everybody. It's going to be one size fits all. And it's going to be called, get along? What is it?
Coexist.
Coexist. You're going to have to be a coexister. Because you saying that you want morals, you're intolerant.
And let me say this. I really have a problem with this. Why can we teach everything else, but you can't say Jesus?
Yeah, you can't say Jesus. You can say Islam, Allah.
You can call Buddha. You can call anybody. You can Christian. You can do all that. But if you say the name of Jesus, everybody like loses their mind.
They know it because they know our power. Have you come to torture us before our time?
But I just don't understand. I'm confused by that. I got to take another break, Jesus. The number is 347-945-5669. And I'm going to let you guys go ahead. Eric, everybody's mics are on, so please be nice.
Oh, boy. Here comes the snow again. Oh, man.
Is that someone cooking or something in the background? Are they in the store or what?
Yeah, that was me. I was in the store. Sorry about that, y'all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tracy gets on me all the time because I'm always out and about and I'm on the phone with her.
Okay. So your wife is in education, too?
Well, no, actually not. But
oh, okay.
I do understand where y'all are coming from.
It's a difficult situation. It is. It's very difficult because there's so much that you have to deal with, and there's so much that the little ones encounter nowadays the things that they're exposed to at a much younger age.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I personally believe that some of the dysfunctionalism that you see and sometimes the misdiagnosis for the ADHD and the ADD and what else are we taught? The ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. That one got me. But anyway,
because
yeah. That's tantamount to lying. But anyways, there's so much that they endure. And it's
yeah.
really difficult for them when they come into a classroom. And I'm talking about innocent little babies having
yeah.
to deal with situations. And they don't know necessarily how to function, and they're looking for certain things and certain, you know, teachers. And if you do connect, I mean, I have babies, I'm talking about grades from K through 8th grade that will tell me I do not want to go home. And that's sad,
wow.
too.
Wow. That's yeah, that is that's troubling right there.
Don't want to go home. Mm. Can I stay until the last minute? Are you doing something on Saturday?
Wow.
You know, things like that. And there were like 3 or 4 years that I did have programming on Saturdays. And then I always try to involve the parents. One thing with the program I do, I oversee an after-school program, and longer story shorter, the children that are within my program, their parents must pick them up. And so I encourage my teachers and my tutors to connect with their parents. If there's any behavior problems, connect with them. If there's anything positive, connect with them. You have an opportunity to do this because they have to come and get their children. And our program has been successful in that light, and I do try to get parents to see certain things. Like, I try to get them, and it's sad, but I shouldn't have to do this. I shouldn't have to tell them, come to a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter's 18 now. My daughter's a senior, but, I mean, parent-teacher conference award, they were a given. I mean, that was, I don't
mm-hmm.
care what was going on. I took time
right.
off work if I had to.
Right, right. Or connect with that teacher.
Well,
you know,
when you got when you've got a situation like my wife had last week, okay,
okay.
She's got 17 kids in her classroom, of
mm-hmm.
which 14 are boys. 14 boys. She gave a homework assignment. Okay,
mm-hmm.
only five kids brought their homework back.
And that's another next problem step. Too.
Okay,
what grade
the
does she teach?
Do not. She teaches third grade.
Oh my!
The parents,
third grade.
The parents do not teach them. Or tell them that they have to read. That's a big part of it. They can't read.
Mm-hmm.
They can't write. Last year there were four students in her classroom that needed to be retained.
Mm-hmm.
The parents and the principal lobbied. Well, the parents went to the principal and lobbied for this kid or these children to be sent up to the next grade. Okay? Now the kids are little hillions in the fourth grade.
Right.
They don't know nothing. They don't know anything.
Mm-hmm. What state are
and
you it, in?
And it's crazy.
What state are
South
you
Carolina.
In? South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Now,
yeah.
Ohio just changed their law. We need to have a new House bill. Now, in this new House bill that we have, if your child does not get a certain score for reading, that child does not go to the next grade. It is as simple
yeah.
as that. And if a parent
yeah.
wants to fight for them to go, they will not go when it comes to language arts. They can probably be sitting in the fourth grade for math or something else, but they will not for language arts. And that's something that is new. That just started last year, and so we're changing a lot of our programming and even certain things with our Common Core standards to meet that. We're even going to change our Ohio Achievement Assessment to meet some of the requirements there. But that's new, and I'm glad that they're focusing on literacy, because if you cannot read, I mean, how much more can you do in anything else, you know? But that's sad,
yep,
what you're
exactly.
saying about the homework, too, because I've seen that,
but
too.
See,
I think
as a child, sometimes we think that people are supposed to read and get words at the same level, and when some children and they see other kids may read and they can't pick up, and people,
right.
and their parents and the teachers may not identify. Sometimes they get, you know, discouraged, because if you
right.
have a child to read something out loud, he can't read it out loud. He or she can't read it out loud. It's embarrassing.
Right.
It really is embarrassing. So that may be another thing where say, I don't want to read, or they may shun away from it because other kids may laugh and tease, and people need, the parents and the teachers need to identify that at a very early age, because everyone that you have all in that community is not going to be in that pre-K class, are not going to read or pick up things or have the same attention span. Now,
that
one thing
true.
I do, teachers have a very tough challenge because we have these computers, these internets, these games are actually are on the kids' mind while they're in school. So the teachers have to be even extra hard, and the parents have to be more vigilant to come up with more creative ways to get these lessons into them, because these games and other things are on their mind. When you see a child looking out the window, it's the reason why, because he's not focused, he may be bored, and his or her mind is somewhere else. And where is it? Where is it? So it's a complex thing.
Right.
But you're right. The parents have to do involved, and homework is much important, because homework, parents need to know that homework is what you did earlier that day. That's your practice, and
mm-hmm.
if you come the next day, you may have a drill, a summary over, and that classwork is much important. But drills, classwork, and homework, that process needs to be, parents need to know about that process. It's very important.
That's true.
Would you prefer this one or Happy?
I prefer all of them, but not every single minute.
I think I'm looking for bouncy music. I think that's what it is. I need bouncy music. Bouncy music does a trick.
Yeah, because you drink so much coffee.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You think you got it.
Exactly.
You think you got it. Ooh. Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600.
I
don't have issues. I need bouncy music. I never understood the words, but I just knew, hey, yeah. Is that that's all you need, right?
All you need.
Hey! They're not there yet. Oh, they are there. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Yeah, Tracy, you have issues. You just don't know. Sorry. Yeah, I do. But it works. It works. I mean, but then this is still not Happy. I got to go back to Happy. Happy is just, you know, kind of cool.
Come along if you feel like a room without a roof.
That means you can go high as you want to go.
So it means you can do it, yeah.
You can do, I mean, you're
not limited.
Unlimited. There's, you can just go for it. That's just the way people
come
need to think.
Come along if you feel that.
Happiness?
Happiness is the truth.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Come along.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here, WSLM AM 600, South Carolina. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Not so blind, Mike. I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, hi, Tracy. I was here yesterday for a little while.
But I didn't hear you.
Well, you guys were
I heard you guys beat up Diva.
Oh, we didn't beat up Diva.
We didn't beat her up.
Not any worse than usual. Actually, I've grown to have a lot of respect for Diva, how much research and life experience she has had. And I just wish she could find an outlet to use it. I think she'd be happier.
Actually, she needs to become she's not here, so we can talk about her really bad.
Well, I'm not talking about her bad. I'm talking about her with great affection. She's
quite
a lady.
Really bad. She's not here.
Yeah, even though her points of views are a little askew at times. But
A little askew at times?
I'm trying to be Christian here.
Yeah,
you're trying to
be Christian.
You're trying to be politically correct
because you're lying.
I'm politically correct. Yeah.
She sounds like an ambitious woman to me. She sounds like a very ambitious
and
woman.
Just another black lady. I know better than that. I was raised by a single mom. You gotta watch out what you say in front of the women.
Ambitious.
I like sleeping indoors at night, Jeff.
I try. That's why I got a place over at Ben's.
Yeah.
I got a room over at Ben's just for me.
You know, I'm going to change the topic completely. I'm sorry, but it just came to mind because you guys said something, and I've got to bring it up. I got somebody put a post on Facebook last night, and the question was, when you're married and you have a spat, especially for honeymooners, do you request that one of the people that you're having the spat with move out? And I said, no.
Move out of what?
Their house.
Oh.
And I said, no, because, you know, young people, you know, they feel like you're getting on my nerves, I'm moving out because we're going through a hard patch.
You can go to another room now.
And you need to go to another room, or you can do what you choose. But you should never move out, because if you move out, you give place to other people to move in.
And you were moving out.
What'd you say?
Tracy, can I comment on this real quick? This about 30
sure.
seconds. I had a conversation with an attorney.
Yeah.
Real quick. I had a conversation with an attorney, and he says he's a relationship counselor. And he's saying that he would tell people to get separate dormitories house. I mean, you know, separate quarters, like you're saying. And what I'm saying is, if we have that as a rule, don't you know some people will try to do their argument so they can go to that little place for 2 weeks or 3 days just to chill out? What I'm saying is, if you have to walk away because you think you're going to strike a woman or that something ain't right, if your mind goes there, something ain't right. So if you're walking away, you're still you're just modifying the problem. The problem is still going to be there. So if you can't sit down at that bit, at the edge of that bed and talk to one another an hour and out, something ain't right.
Well, I'm okay.
So I totally disagree with that. Right, now hold up. Having said that, a man should go take a walk, but you're talking about you should have a separate house so you can go 2 or 3 days when you think that, you know, y'all can't get along? Come on. I'm saying people will start something so they can get away from their spouses, and then you never know, they may be having somebody else on the side. So why are you running away from the problems? And I'm letting you know I ain't going for that.
You just got a man cave. I got me a man cave, so that ain't no problem.
Well,
me.
You're doing it.
Well, let a woman
be
mad at you right. and leave for 3 days at a time and say, "Oh, okay, I'm just getting my feelings together." Tracy, when we say these things, play it out in real life, and people don't want to play it out in real life.
But
see,
what I'm saying is,
when we play it out, it's not right.
But see, this is what I'm saying. The reason why I ask is because we have a mixed audience. Excuse me, we have a mixed audience here, and we have people of different ages and different walks of life. And if you're going to stay in a relationship with someone, and marriage is hard, and we were talking about family and education, and family education and relationship is just hard, and there are going to be highs and lows inside of every relationship, but you don't move people out. And you don't move out, but you stay there and you work through it if you love them enough, because when you move people out, especially in today's society, other people will move in.
Listen.
Well,
that's why I'm divorced.
There's a lot of concepts I have, Tracy, that I've grown up on that's not right, and that's why I'm divorced. And I'm challenging these concepts because I used to think just like that. I said, hold up, something ain't right here. It doesn't have to be that struggle. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
but even if you get, and Eric, you said you got a man, you got somewhere you can go and just chill out. Because, you know, you're going to have an argument it's just going to happen.
Right.
And no one lives in this utopia.
The three most successful couples I knew, 50 years plus married, till death parted one of them, okay? One of them was even 65 years. They all said the same thing. They never ended a day angry at each other. They never went to bed that night still angry at each other. They found
I don't think you should.
At least, exactly. They found some way to come to some, even if it was, let's defer this discussion until a couple of days or tomorrow, but let's not end the day angry or upset with each other. And like I say, between the three of them, they were married almost, you know, 150 years, 200 years, whatever it was.
And
it was amazing.
Let me ask you this. And I mean, for those of you guys who are married, don't you guys, it's not always easy, but don't you have to have an understanding that even when we're mad, we're going to respect each other? If you're going to stay together, because folks are getting divorced, like, you know, 40, like it's a business.
No respect to anybody.
Right. Yeah, some people had no business getting married in the first place.
Well,
now that's true.
I met a black couple that was married 53 years, and actually they were at a restaurant, and everyone overheard them.
Uh-huh.
They got up and someone asked them, what kept y'all together so long? The lady said, never, never stop communicating. And she said the key word, compromise. He never said that he has the last say, she has the last say. When you have a compromise, there is no leader factually. She said compromise.
You know what the compromise is? Yes, dear.
Both of us come to an agreement together. That's what a compromise is. Not one has the last say. Not one made the last decision. We both made the last decision. That's what compromise is.
Someone just tweeted me and said, I have a big garage and I sleep in it.
Well, yeah, you still home.
Turn off the background music. Or you got something playing?
There's no background music playing.
Yeah, got something playing.
It's yeah, that's another thing too.
Hey,
when you have an argument, it's got to be about what you're arguing about. You can't go back 25 years ago. Yeah, well, I remember the time you did
now,
this, and it's not about
you
getting the score.
Can I tell y'all a secret? Can I tell y'all a secret? And this is really a secret. We can't help it. Y'all don't go back 25 years because y'all don't remember what you guys had for breakfast yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
Women,
man,
we can't
remember.
That's not what it is because we can go back 25 years.
We can't help it. We can't
help it. It don't matter to go back 25 years.
But we can't help it. We got to go back because we got to win.
We are intricate.
You know why?
What'd you say?
Yeah,
we
hold
intricate.
On to it.
You know why?
Why?
The Bible tells us exactly why.
We're incubators.
No.
What?
The devil is the accuser of the brother night and day. That's it.
We can't.
Y'all the devil. Y'all been the devil from the beginning. Y'all be the devil to the end.
That's because y'all are disobedient.
Mm-mm.
I can't remember what I did last week, let alone 20 years ago.
That's what
yeah,
I'm
men
saying.
Men only
you know,
deal
what?
With superficial things.
That's what it is.
Ran us,
and
that's
the moment.
Ran us out.
That's what it is. And I'm just, okay, and it's true.
We run out of house screaming.
I'm trying to let y'all know we sorry we hold on to stuff and bring it up.
No, you ain't.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
Because we bring stuff up. We do. We bring stuff up that happened 20 years ago, and you guys are looking at us like, what?
You stepped on a crack 30 years ago
and
broke my mother's back.
That's right. And it's hard for us to get past it. But the reason why I ask is because people are in relationships, and they need to know that they need to work it out, and they need to quit, you know, throwing people out the house and just stay in there and make it work. Yeah. Throwing a person because you're mad at them out the house over something that's really stupid, if you look back at it, it's really not worth your relationship. And so if you love the person, you need to work it out there. Because if you move a person out, you're only asking for the devil to come in.
Let's straighten it out.
So I just wanted to get that out my chest because somebody it was out there, and it looked like a good question.
You didn't straighten it out, though. I have straightened it out playing right now.
Early on in my marriage, I explained to my wife, if she was going to keep bringing up the past, along with what I just did today, pretty soon I'd have no time to do anything else she wanted done because I'd just be apologizing for everything all at once.
Well, you might as well just get
you know,
to apologize.
You can't keep doing that. You can't keep doing
did she,
that. You know?
Did she stop?
Yeah, she did. I've got her trained really well. She argues more like a guy now. She really
so she's not listening to you
like
on the radio?
Pardon?
She's not listening to you on the radio?
No.
I'm at work.
She's
at home. Who knows? Eric is good at noise. Hey, the number again is 347. It's been a great day today. The conversation of education, it is important. If you don't think it's not important, look around. You're talking about minimum wage. The reason why we're fighting about poverty and minimum wage, and Condoleezza Rice, and I'm going to give her credit for saying, she said if you want to know the new civil rights, it's education.
Thank you, Condoleezza Rice.
And we need to wake up and understand, until we understand and start prioritizing education and respect and putting it back in the forefront of our minds, we will be having a conversation about paying minimum wage and getting people out of poverty for the rest of our nation. And then it won't be long.
When the gentleman was speaking earlier, Tracy, I believe that his handle is Detroit or Michigan or something, he was talking about kids staring out the window. That's not a new phenomenon. We've always done
it. I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, all of us did. And it wasn't technology back then. It was baseball or baseball cards or thinking what we were going to do after school, you know. But then you know what?
It was daydreaming,
wasn't
it?
They called on you.
Everybody in the class laughed because they knew you were spaced and zoned somewhere, and you were embarrassed, and that wasn't all that bad to be embarrassed once in a while, because is it better to wait till you're an adult and then you can't read then? And you think that's less of an embarrassing feeling?
That's true.
The women of war.
Suffer a little few pains and indignities while you're young. It makes you stronger as an adult. It's not the end of the world to be embarrassed.
Believe me, I know, being
blind. I can't tell you how many times I left the little boy's room with my zipper down.
Tomorrow I'm going to bring up, we've got somebody coming in talking about senior care and senior living and adult living. But we're also going to, I want to talk about bullying tomorrow.
Obamacare is going to take all the money out of the senior care system.
No, Jeff.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. I'm going to talk about adult. I'm going to talk about bullying, because I am a little bit confused about bullying when it comes to people, because when I look at politics, if you want to see bullies in adult form, politics is a bullying sport.
You're a bully, Tracy.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
And if everything is politically correct, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, I need for you to tell
with
me
words.
How am I going to – pardon me?
With words? That's the only way we can bully each other in politics, concepts, words. I mean, I hope it doesn't go even further than that.
No.
But I'm just saying –
they're bullying all
the I mean,
money, ideas.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. And tomorrow we're going to talk about this in detail, because my concern is if you don't learn how to cope as you grow up in life and understand, one, everybody's not going to like you.
Okay.
Understand if you don't, I mean, you're not always going to get along with everyone. If you don't learn that as a child, how are you going to cope as an adult? I mean, I'm serious about that. And I think we are weakening our children.
Uh-huh.
We talk about the wussifying of men.
Uh-huh.
But we are really weakening everyone around us.
That's true.
For the sake of political correctness. And if you don't have a thick skin, I mean, have you seen some of the newspapers write about people?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine if you could not handle that? There's a reason why people who are successful are still on drugs.
Is that why we got no state reps or anybody calling today? Because they're handling this?
Man, Jeff, you know what I'm talking about.
Or are they avoiding this?
They don't have to answer it.
Well, I wish I could have caught the one that was on WTAM some time ago in Cleveland saying that they wanted the governor to go and attend all the executions. That was a good one.
But I'm serious about this. Where? How do you grow up?
You don't. And they're not grown up, as you can see. They look like four little kids standing, big grown behind little kids, standing up against the wall.
I have a question.
He's going to do it, but I don't know if he can.
Listen.
Where the heck did he come
from? Is he the same one that's running for Supreme Court Justice?
I hope not.
I think it is.
Tom Letson.
Uh-huh. No, I'm just saying.
Now, why the heck would he be in any partisan anything?
I don't know.
Running for Supreme Court.
I don't know.
Judge.
Maybe it's his brother. I don't know. All I know is we need to wake up and smell the coffee.
No.
Because it's right now, as Americans, we're getting hurt. And tomorrow we're going to talk about bullying. I'm really serious about this. Because I have been bullied, and I have. My mama and them have heard some stuff about me that ain't true. And I was bullied by people, and it hurts.
Uh-huh. That's one thing I admire about George Bush.
Yeah.
That's one thing I admire about George Bush, because he took a lot of bullying, boy.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, that had to hurt. That had to hurt. I mean, that hurts to your core.
You know what happened to me, though? When I got bullied by this kid, he was threatening me on the way home from school. My mother took me, and she smacked me. She said, if you come home with one more of these stories without whipping his behind, then I'm going to whip yours.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that was it, because I couldn't take it.
But you're not allowed to do that anymore.
You
girls were bullying my daughter.
But this is different.
She ain't but 2 years out of high school.
Yeah.
They bullied her. I told her, if they push you, they touch you, you pop them right in the nose. And I said, Don't neglect it.
So tomorrow they can't
pop them.
But you can't do that anymore.
She did it.
But how long ago was it?
Not more than 4 years.
That's what I'm saying.
5 years ago.
And from 5 years.
But you gave her
now.
A process of how to handle some things, too.
Right.
She did
still,
bring it to the attention of the teacher. And,
right.
And so there was a paper trail, so to speak.
Yeah, but I'm saying as right now, it's even different from her from us right now.
Now, I will tell her the same thing right now. Pop them in the nose. If they keep bothering you and pushing on you, don't let nobody push on you.
So my question is, how do we deal with it today? So tomorrow we're going to deal with that in detail.
Well,
Sticks is going to be with me. I don't think he is. He won't have anything else coming in with that. But I do want to do that. Anything else for the good of the order?
Let's straighten it out by Lattimore.
Who?
Lattimore.
Which Lattimore? Kenny?
Is that this?
Could I say something to defend O.J.?
Sure, you can defend O.J. He's in jail still.
Yeah, I know. I am tired of people ragging on him because he had $7 million to defend himself, and they're saying that's the reason he got off, because he was an elite celebrity, rich person, spoiled, privileged, all that nonsense. If you know the facts, the state of California spent $44 million on his persecution or prosecution, depending upon your point of view, to get to a jury decision that then nobody liked. There were 42 top prosecutors, the heads of 42 counties, who were hired and paid as consultants on that trial. Everybody was going to get their piece of him. Thank God the man had the $7 million. Otherwise, he would have just been another black guy railroaded.
That's true, too.
That's true.
And up until that time, the average murder trial in California was only $4 million. They only spent $4 million to prosecute the entire Manson family. And they spent, and I'm sorry, I just think that it's a shame that Mark Berman now has a celebrity career. When I'm sorry, I think he was
that
as prejudiced
me.
As they come.
And then he has it on Fox. That's what really bothers me. And
I turn it off every time that man comes on.
I'm about with it.
Because we glorify people who don't need to be glorified. And they don't. And again, as I said the other day, we do not have people in position to tell people the reason why you are viewed this way is because you allow things like that to happen.
Yep. And Marsha Clark and Chris Darden, that juvenile, immature display after the verdict outside, where they were basically stamped. They might as well stamp their feet and shook their fists and cried like little babies because it ruined their political aspirations. What they should have said as servants of the people and officers of the court, they should have said, hey, that's our jury system. The jury has ruled, and time to move on. And that's what they – no. They said, well, the jury just didn't get it. Whine. You know, that was a disgusting
right.
display because they didn't get the big bad end. That's what it was about. And I'm sorry, no one will ever convince me that it wasn't about a racist thing.
They were
How
guilty
dare he marry
in their
a white
minds.
Man?
He was guilty in their minds but did not look at – the man was pretty much crippled. And, you know, regardless of what it is, he's not going to kill up two very fine-tuned people like that by himself. And that's
now,
just ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I think he knows something about it. I don't think he's guilty in the sense that he did it, but I think he might know a little more than he let on. That's my personal opinion. But I did not see him in the courtroom. I did not hear the evidence. I was not in the jury box for all those many weeks sequestered like they were. And I wasn't at the scene of the crime, so the jury ruled. And Alex Jones and all these other people who were thumping the Constitution, our Constitution worked. He was tried, found innocent. Game on.
Right.
Hey, Mike, what I think and what I believe with all my fabric and from living out there, it's different from living here and living out there.
Yeah.
Living here, you know, when you live in the area, it's like here you know the players and you know their life, you know their kids, and LA is as big as it is as small as it is.
Uh-huh.
I believe OJ covered for his son.
I believe his son because
they used to, I mean drugs were rampant and his son used to get party with his stepmom.
Uh huh.
And the reason why the DNA was so close.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe his and a father is crazy enough to take the fall for his son.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. And I do believe that it was somebody he either knows or he cared about very much that he's covering for. That's what I believe. And his son is as good as anyone. But, yeah, but I just think I'm just so tired of talk show hosts and everything else talking about him like he was some privileged elite because he spent $7 million on his defense, and the average person can't do that. Well, thank God the average – thank God he had it.
He had it.
$4 million of the citizens' money of California. California should be outraged. It's that fact alone that it was $44 million of their tax money, a 20th of a billion. I mean, that's crazy.
Did you get that off your chest, Mike?
Yes, ma'am. I just had to say that.
I'm with you, Mike.
Wanna...
I agree with you 100,000%.
Thank
you. I agree with him, too. May I interject something quickly?
Sure.
What did you
sure.
all think about the female hockey team from the United States of America and how they, I guess, presented themselves at the time that they were receiving their silver medal? What did you think about that? Did any of you all see that?
No. What happened with that?
Oh, they acted a fool.
I thought they were kind of sore losers, but I was just wondering if, you know, and I understand in the midst of the game you want to win and so on and so forth, and you know, the Canadians won with the tiebreaker and everything, but I was just wondering, you know, if anybody saw that and how you thought, because I thought when I initially saw it, I thought, oh my goodness, this isn't a good example of, I guess there's no such thing as good sportsmanship, you know?
Look at their age. And
yeah,
this is what you do
playing.
When you raise children with privilege, the way with entitlement, feelings of entitlement. This is what you
right.
get against young adults.
Yeah, I
right.
was just wondering if other people saw that and just noticed, you know. And I can see being upset that you lost your game or something, you know, that. But still yet, you know, it's a game and, you know, here you're in the Olympics, you know, and
– You represent your country.
You represent your country.
Yeah.
Yes, you know. So
because
I
they don't see
wondered.
Anything bigger in their mind than themselves. They're the center of the universe. That's how they were raised.
But let
yeah,
me say this: that's America, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what's wrong with this country.
I mean, that's. I mean, we all have this elitism mentality because we're American.
No, we don't all have that.
I don't
not
know,
everybody.
Yeah.
But
well,
I mean,
you have to
I'm talking
yourself,
about
yourself an American citizen because you have a military. All of this, let's put the verb on, you have a military defending you from foreign invaders in other countries with other ideologies. So that's what makes us all unique. That's all I wanted to say. Y'all can continue.
Well, I mean, here it is again, the arrogance of...
Because we are cocky.
The arrogance of the United States because they played a World Series with themselves. You know, here it is.
That sounds like something the nuns wouldn't approve.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that. We played the World Series with ourselves.
We played the World Series with ourselves and celebrate like we were the champions of the world.
We are.
And
if this was not
I could put a farm league team together and beat some of these major league teams.
Yeah. Listen, do you realize the only monopoly sanctioned by the American government is baseball.
Yes, I do realize that.
And you know why? They kept all you black people out because you guys had a Negro League, and we want to make sure you stop that. Tomorrow we'll talk about bullying. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you. I want you to have a good day. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends. Eric, we got to get you a soundproof booth. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Tomorrow, Sticks and I will be together, and we will see you then. God bless you, and have a absolutely wonderful day.
So I guess that's it for today. Another show in the can.
You know, one thing they were talking about, their relationships, I don't know if we still won, but if you're going to move out, the communication is going to stop.
Of course.
You know, that's what that lady was telling us, never stop the communication. And, you know, you just modify things and the problem is still there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you compound things. Well, I'm going to leave for a couple of days. Well, who is he sleeping with? Who is she sleeping with? You know, can a man accept a woman say, you know what, we're getting an argument and I'm going to leave a couple of days? Is he going, you know, or just a man just get to leave, or just a man get to sleep in the garage? Is it going to be gender involved in that? So when we play these things out in life, when people suggest you things, I say, wow. But this was an attorney who asked me to get paid, and, you know, I guess if you're on a high level bracket, people can afford to move out and go, you know, in separate quarters, you know, or spend in a motel in a week. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking a walk, but leaving for a couple of days at a time over this and that, something ain't right. So communication will stop.
Well, you put yourself in a situation where communication can't do anything but stop. You know, that's not a good situation.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. It's not a good situation. I was hearing what they were saying about education, and in Ohio they're changing it so that language skills or reading, whatever they call it, counts now for a lot. But I really think they should keep math skills in there also. I think those are the two fundamental things. If you can read and you can do basic math, you're going to have a much easier time in life with anything you pursue. You're not going to be such a victim either when it comes to financial transactions and everything else if you can do the numbers quick enough.
Right, exactly. Yep, that math too.
Basic math doesn't hurt. It really, and it should be a reason for not holding for holding someone back. It really should be a reason because, again, as an adult unable to do math, that's far more embarrassing than being some 6 or 7 or 8 year old kid being held back because you can't buckle down and do math. You know, we're not asking them to do calculus. We're not asking them, but unless the child is mentally challenged somehow, with an official diagnosed learning disability, come on, you can teach any child basic addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. You can teach that to anybody.
All right. Well, what do you think about history? Do you think we have to go through, how many years does it take to teach child about world history and about life?
Yeah.
Does it have to take 12 years and do we have to take a course in college? At some point, we have to say, hold up. We can teach, you know, with these games, these video games, we don't have to wait until, well, for college to worry about World War II or World War III. I mean, we got the Science Channel. You got these things that are doing. I mean, I've learned a whole lot.
Sure.
You know, I have a good degree, but I've learned a lot from the Science Channel and, you know, from TV. You can get educational, factual information anywhere.
I agree.
Education is all around us.
I agree.
But, you know, you have to separate the facts from the theories. Right, but you have to separate the facts from the theories and, you know, come from your, you know, get your own basis. But what about history, though, sir?
No, I agree.
You think sometimes it's a waste of time?
I agree 100%.
Especially with math.
Because
with math,
there's
no excuse.
Me being blind, there was none of this technology when I was a kid. Everything I know comes from sitting in class listening, watch what I chose to watch on TV or listen to on the radio or what conversations I chose to sit and listen when adults talked. That's where all my knowledge in science and business and engineering, that's where all that came. And then it sparked curiosity, and then it caused me to try to find a way. And when I was a little older and had a part-time job, I had some money, I could hire people to read for me at minimum wage. I could pay them that. And I would go to the library with people and say, get a book on this. Read me this book, please. You know,
yeah,
and that's how I educated
math.
Myself.
Especially with math, math has always been the same. It's never going to change. I mean, 1 + 1 is always equal 2. So you can't blame it on outdated books, you know. That's no excuse in math.
You can't blame it on outdated
books.
You can't blame it on outdated methods. The old way we taught was good enough to do enough calculations to put our butt on the moon.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right, exactly.
You know, this is such a cop-out by the
way. Well, one thing about the map, right, exactly. But see, the concepts is supposed to be key. When you get the concept of math, that's good. And it's always measurement. And if we just teach them that it's just measurement from one point, it's just measurement.
Yeah,
and, you know, and you look at life, you always add, subtract, divide, multiply things in your life. I mean, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
that's fundamental to everything.
A day old
day
or 30 years old, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And so, you know, but like I say, it's these professional educators. I'm not talking about the teacher who's in a classroom. They're not the problem. The problem comes from the people who see education as a way of becoming an elitist by working their way up through the system to become on some board or the head of something or something, you know? The people that want to move up in the teachers' unions and stuff, those people, they come up, they've got to justify their existence by tampering with what has been proven to work. The reason it doesn't work anymore is because parents don't work.
When you take any college book, if you, I mean, the teachers nowadays say, if you take this book, by this $157 book, if you get to a title, just go on the internet and research.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you'll find. So you'd be like, hold up, this book, it's right on the internet. So cause you're going to use the internet for your research and just to back up your points, and it's
there
right
is,
there.
There
everything
is a
in the book is on the internet. So,
I
mean, education is everywhere.
Yeah, there is
I learned
a
how to fix washers and dryers on the internet.
Yeah, there is
I learned
a
how to fix washers and dryers on the internet.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Education is everywhere, right.
There is a caller to this show, and I'm not going to say who the person is. But this person 6 years ago was working in a fast food restaurant, and because of what this person learned on the internet, has improved themselves to the point where now they hold down a high-paying IT job, and it was all what they taught themselves on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They went from a fast food restaurant 6 years. I mean, you can't, and no debt for this. You know, this is not like they came out of college owing $100,000, and now they hold down a high-paying IT job. They're in such high demand that when they were unemployed a few weeks ago,
the struggling is well, what do you want to get a degree or a certificate? People going that route. As you know, I got to say, when it comes to colleges and everything, it all comes down to money because it's like a business. They're a competition.
Sure.
They'll tell you go get this. But then, you know, when you go get a trade and skill, they say, well, you can get a degree because you'll be a supervisor on that job. You still got to – you get the degree. You still got to take the certification test along with it. But you'll go on the job and you'll be a supervisor. Well, I mean, you know –
but at least
just because that guy,
but while you're doing
exactly.
that, you get paid. You see, if you go into the trade, even as an apprentice at the bottom, instead of going to 4 years of college, at the end of the 4 years, you're going to be making more money than the college graduate would, and you're not going to be $100,000 in debt.
Right, exactly.
You'll get your life
started. See, people don't look at it like that. Right, see, people don't look at it. So if you said, well, people would go more the certificate route, just go get my trade, let me learn my craft, and get me a job.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
One of the things that has always helped me sleep real good at night in all the years I've been in the trades myself was that I always knew no matter who was the president, no matter whether we were at war or at peace, no matter whether it was Republicans or Democrats running this country, no matter whether it was an upstop market or downstop market, recession, depression, expansion, I always knew that as long as I had my tools and as long as I had the knowledge to use those tools, I could always put food on the table by next Thursday. No matter what went on, I could generate enough money to pay the bills and hang in till things got better. And you can do that with a trade. You can't do that as a white-collar worker because usually as a white-collar worker, you're working for a company or an institution that can just kick your butt to the curb anytime they want.
Yeah, you're restricted.
Yeah. Whereas if you got a trade...
Well, and if everything's shut down, they can't do nothing. See, the desk workers, if you don't have a trade, what would you really produce? I know they're doing something, but... If you, like the people on Wall Street, they really don't know how to get in and out, do certain, make certain things or,
right.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? So
I understand. Because
they need, like the person who
what was it?
The electric company people, you know, the electric workers, they do trade. Mechanics, they do trade.
And the beautiful part
shut down,
about fixing things,
it is going back again. Right.
And the beautiful part about knowing how to fix things, they can't send your job to China. The car is broken here. The roof leaks
here.
The painting needs to be done here. The computer needs to be done here. You know, they can't send your, when you can repair stuff, and you have a trade, or build it or repair it, it's all done here. You know,
like I said,
you can run a road grader, you know. You're not going to ship the road to China and bring it back finished.
Right. I watched a YouTube video on how to clean my furnace, and I've been making money doing it ever since.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Pretty close to the same for me. I had an old-timer who was willing to teach me that. He did burner installations, and he taught me what he did. And when I ended up owning my own apartment buildings, I ended up putting in my own furnaces, gas or oil, hot air or hot water, and I ended up doing the maintenance on them and stuff. Why pay someone? Back then, it was like $80 for a service call. I'm going back to the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And it was like, that was a lot of money back then. That was more than I was making per hour. So, you know, get yourself a, you know, go buy yourself a shop vac and, you know, and just, you know, just use it for that one dirty, disgusting purpose, cleaning out the fireboxes. Yeah. Take about the smoke pipes, clean them out. Yeah. I mean, you can learn to do that kind of stuff. Yeah. I wish today these kids saw more people around them who did something and one day just stuck a wrench or something in their hand or gave them a screwdriver for Christmas and said, here, figure out how to use this. You'll be better off in life.
Yeah, they can program computers, but they can't build them.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. A lot of these kids can't even program the computers. A lot of these kids only know how to play with apps. Well, playing with an app is basically being a trained monkey for bananas.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to pay you to play a computer game. I'll never forget the time I hired one of my nephews years and years ago. This goes back maybe 20 years ago. And one day he came and complained to me and said, he said, this job sucks. And I said, why? He said, well, I had to do this and I had to do that. And I said, of course, that's why I hired you. That's how life is. See, I worked all my life doing what you're doing. And I'm at the point now where I have some extra money, and I'm willing to pay someone to do that which I don't want to do anymore.
But programming is not for everybody, though, sir.
No, it's not.
It's not for everybody. It's for special people, and I'm letting you know that
it is what
it is. But
playing a video game doesn't pay anybody anything either.
I know that, sir. I know that, sir. But, you know, and I agree with the math, but when it comes with, you know, and it's like, I mean, we can explain, okay, programming is like a recipe. It's like this, the property, methods, functions, all that. But when some people get to it, it's just not for, you know, they just take that basic course and get the hell away. It's kids, you know.
So let me tell you what I said to my nephew when he was complaining about the work I was giving him to do. And I said, I'm at the point now where I can pay someone to do that which I'm tired of doing for myself. That's how life works. So you need to make some money, and you need to get your own situation going, and then you'll hire someone and pay them to do what you don't want to do anymore. I said, he said, well, you know, there's this and this and this I'd really rather do. And I said, look, if you're going to, first of all, you ain't never going to see the ad in the paper. Rich, wealthy businessman, so busy looking for somebody to watch his videotapes, have sex with his hot girlfriend, and drink his beer. You ain't never going to see an ad like that. You know, because people pay you to do what they don't want to do themselves anymore, or it's not the best use of their time. They've moved on to a higher level skill, you know. So all work sucks, but it's what. But you see, the work has got to be part of your plan, and that's what the kids don't understand. The work is about, hey, I do this work, I'm going to make so much money by the end of the week. In so many weeks, I got the money I got, so I can buy that iPhone. Back in the day, that's how I bought my first electric guitar. Was with a part-time job, you know, and that's what kept me going and putting up with a dirty, disgusting job working in a printing plant. You know, I'll never forget one time when I was only there like a week, and an overhead crane dropped a 55-gallon drum of red ink, the kind they use in comic books, and it landed on an old-timer who was sitting down on the floor, and it killed him. But that ink was $2 a pound, so they paid us apprentices to go clean it up, and we weren't sure what was his guts and what was the ink. So, but that's the kind of work you get, you know. But it wasn't about the work. It was about what I could do with the money they paid me. The job paid pretty well. So. I think we need to teach the kids how to be more goal-oriented, how to set a little goal like that and go for it.
Yeah. What's wrong with our community, Rich? It's hard to manufacture now as American.
Yeah.
Really, real wealth, real good wealth. If you can get raw material from the natural earth and process that and have your machines and because that energy, I mean, see, that's one good thing when we can be 100% energy.
Independent.
Right, independent. Yeah. From the rest of the world, because we can get those machines rolling. We can start manufacturing more. We can sell our products cheaper.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, energy keeps those machines rolling. But
yeah.
If we don't do that, I mean, our community, that's how, I mean, how can I, I'm just saying, because all businesses, you have embedded businesses with your business. But if you want to have a manufacturing, I can't pay nobody manufacturing a product and selling it around the world $7.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where other countries' cheap labor comes, and it hurts us. It's just a fact. It just hurts us. It really does. Because
see,
that cheap labor.
This is where you got to pick and choose what you're going to do. You got to pick and choose.
Well, yeah, no. Right, exactly. Because, I mean, if you start an IT company,
you just can't be competitive, you know? I know with my 10
acres
of land, I'll never compete against a farmer in Iowa, even if he's a dirt poor farmer. He can still grow more per acre than I can because he's got a scale of economy that I just can't match, you know?
Right.
I'd have to have all illegal aliens hiding out on my property willing to get the food, you know, the food they're growing. But, you know,
that is so true.
As a business person, you just say,
well,
there's no
money being made out there. Right, but it's money to me. Having said that, it's a big pot of money to be made out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big pot of money.
Oh, yeah. No, there's just so much opportunity. I make more money today than I ever did. Well, not ever. I mean, I had a couple of years back in the mid-'80s when I had several companies and stuff, and, you know, I had some super years that were just like, but they were unduplicatable. It was just circumstance, you know. One year I just happened to be located near where IBM was building their world headquarters, and so we had a two-year boom where money just was like, you know, just like air. You could reach up and pull it out of the sky, you know. But that was short-lived. But now, I just, you know, it's still America. And, you know, every day in the newspaper you see about somebody who came up with a darn good idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know the difference is you go hang out on Monday night at some bar sports bar when there's a football game on and you just listen to everybody talk between the games and stuff and there everybody you'll leave there with 20 ideas any one of which would make you a millionaire. The difference is come Tuesday morning nobody will do anything about it. They won't put it into action. They won't go to a library and do a little basic research or go online and see if what they were told is even true or plausible, you know. But I mean.
Right, because people like to tell their business, though, believe it or not, people like to share what they know.
Sure.
You know, and networking is real good. They just like run their mouth and tell, you know, let them brag. You get information.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, networking is real good, right, exactly. Because, I mean, 70% of the time you get a job is because you know somebody.
Uh-huh.
That's just the way it is. Most of the time you get a job is because somebody that you know.
Yeah. It's exactly.
Someone referred you to the.
It's exactly. Yeah.
So.
Well, duty calls. I got to get back to the Empire. They're missing their king, and I've got to go to work. So, good talking to you. Take care.